Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. I've got Wayne Madsen, who formerly worked for the National Security Agency and consulted to other spy agencies, to break down exactly what's happening with the NSA warrantless spying that is ongoing under the new President Barack Obama, now in office for more than a week now. Then we have Gerald Celente joining us, one of the top trends forecasters in the world. He has been predicting more massive bank failures and, panic in the month of February. And we're leading up to the month of February, and he was last on with us about a month ago. I want to see if he's revising any of his trends or forecast and get the latest from Gerald Celente here on the radio today. We're also going to have wide open phones yet again. We'll take a lot of calls in this first hour on the economy, on Obama now with multiple massive airstrikes inside Pakistan, stirring up the Pakistanis, shifting now 30,000 U.S. Marines. First it was 20, now they're saying 30. I'm not sure if all of those have been shifted yet. We're seeing two different numbers out of the White House. They're talking about sending another 10,000 U.S. Army troops, or doubling the number of troops from 35,000 to over 60,000. But they're being quite secretive about the details. They've had a lot of press conferences now where they bring up these subjects, and the White House press secretary will talk about, Obama has been trying out the White House weight room. Obama hasn't had a chance yet to play basketball in the White House basketball court. Or Obama is, doing this and that for you on the economy, but they won't get into the military and what their plans are with Pakistan. But if you go back 4 or 5 months ago, they talked about a invasion of some type into some of the tribal areas that border Afghanistan. So a major escalation. If you look at total troop numbers, no troops are coming home to the United States in total. I mean, troops are always coming home and always leaving, but the overall troop numbers are increasing slightly right now. They're sending more troops to Iraq to keep the numbers close to what they previously were, while they shift between 20 and 35,000. Again, they're giving different numbers to Iraq, out of Iraq to Afghanistan. So we'll be going over that today as well. Toll-free number to join us, 1-800-259-9231. In the news here today, Obama administration warns public needs to expect a rise in U.S. casualties. This is out of the London Guardian. Similar headline out of the Washington Times. Biden sees Afghan uptick in U.S. casualties. And then I thought that I'd get into some of Obama's broken promises, promising that he would go after NAFTA and GATT. Promising that he would do a whole host of things, promising that he would end the warrantless spying, promising that he would not appoint to any senior positions, any lobbyist of any stature, or any lobbyist that had donated money to his campaign, but lobbyist, period, the lobbyist ban. Well, we'll go through some of the big lobbyists that he has been appointing to very senior positions, high-level positions, today. We'll also get into, I talked about Obama modeling himself after Mao Zedong. Tarpley has said it's more after Benito Mussolini. But now they've put out a little Obama book, and they're saying it's like Mao's Little Red Book. So we'll cover it.
With rising unemployment and an economy that continues to fail, comes an increase in crime. Are you safe when you walk to your car? Are your kids safe when they go out? Everyone needs something to give that extra edge in case of an attack. You need DPS pepper spray from MrDefense.com. DPS is the strongest pepper spray on the market and is the same spray used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies from around the world. Need something more? The Stinger Keychain is a great way to surprise a potential attacker. Mr. Defense carries the largest selection of stun guns, air tasers, knives, swords, batons, survival, spy, and tactical gear. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your order. Visit MrDefense.com. That's MrDefense.com or call 1-800-313-6400. 1-800-313-6400. That's 1-800-313-6400 today.
On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero, and we knew what to do. Or at least we thought we did.
Truth Rising is a breakthrough 9/11 film that finally gives first responders a platform to tell their story.
Whitman, EPA director, on the 18th, made a statement that the air was safe to breathe.
This film follows the growing momentum of 9/11 Truth as brave souls throughout the world take action against their global masters.
He had his hand over the radio while he was getting a countdown. He takes his hand off and you hear 3, 2, 1, and it was boom, 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 boom.
This is an emergency transmission worldwide. Download Truth Rising at prisonplanet.tv and aggressively spread it worldwide, or order the DVD at Infowars.com. If we don't expose the government-sponsored terror, they're going to commit more acts and bring in martial law.
It's now winter. Hello, cold. Hello, Mr. Flu. Oh yeah, welcome aboard the ship of irritating sickness. But wait! Ahoy! The sickness answer! GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Let life change tea. Battle your yuck so you can have your life back. Bye-bye, cold. Bye-bye, Mr. Flu. And, oh, by the way, you toxins and chemicals, get the out of here. Feel better? Lose weight? Call us. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Make an investment in your life. P.S. I've been drinking it for years.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Obama compared to Mao's little red book. That's right, little pocket Obama books that his supporters are carrying around, and public schools around the nation, they're issuing them little Obama packets. School districts nationwide are announcing they're adopting the Obama curriculum. School districts nationwide basically made the children watch the inauguration. It is just a unified front. And they built all this on the energy of George Bush. This is the secret of the New World Order and their balkanization, their divide and conquer, is that we spent all this time and energy exposing Bush as a criminal, as a liar, as wicked, as evil. And then the establishment can play the trick of putting in a new puppet, and suddenly all of the Bush hate is converted into love for Obama, and then if you criticize Obama, you're for Bush, or you're for McCain. It's so mindless. How do you reach out to people and explain this to them? I was last night off and on reading the comments on the Obama deception trailer that we posted at around midnight, about 36 hours ago, midnight on Sunday, on YouTube, and it's had 35,000 views and growing on there. And I'm reading the comments, and about 70% of the comments are, absolutely, Obama's a fake, he's a fraud, And then folks will add, and by the way, I'm not racist, I'm black, and then you'll link to their page, and you know, there they are with their YouTube videos, they are black. People have to preface that. Hey, I'm not racist against Obama. I'm not against him because his daddy was black. Just showing the political correctness, which is a huge diversion from real issues. But then I saw some of the other comments that are like, Alex Jones is a right-wing extremist, and he's just mad that Palin and McCain lost. These people are pathetic liars, and this film has no truth in it. None of this is true. There's no compulsory service they're talking about. That's a right-wing lie. Doesn't matter if it's in books by a chief of staff on change.gov. Doesn't matter if it's been all over the news being proposed. Just we're liars. And Barack Obama hadn't gone back on any promises, and Barack Obama never said he was against NAFTA and GATT. No, we just have all these videos of him, especially in Michigan and Ohio and places, saying we're going to get rid of NAFTA and GATT. And then I've got new newscast where a few months ago a Canadian CTV did a report about him lying. Then they got attacked in the other press as, quote, making it up. So they had to do another report showing the clips of him saying it and then defending themselves. I mean, this is the mindlessness of all of this. But it's just like fake conservative neocon followers. They will still say WMDs were found in Iraq. It doesn't matter if the White House admits they weren't and that they lied about it. They will just say that WMDs were found, were found, were found. Well, it's the same mindlessness from these Obama people. And then in 4 to 8 years, we have a Republican president who will be right back. I mean, I'll never forget, I was a hardcore right-wing fascist when I was against Clinton, and then I was a hardcore commie when I was against Bush, and now I'm a hardcore fascist again. And just to see how foolish these people are, to see how bamboozled they are, and it's like Groundhog Day. You ever seen that movie where he wakes up every day, it has to relive the same day? It's like, come on. Do you love being gullible? Do you love being idiots? This is why you're losing your job. This is why you're being taxed out of existence. This is why the police are corrupt. This is why society's unraveling. Because the establishment knows you're suckers. Now, we're not as big of suckers as we were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. But with this particular media con they've run, by casting Obama as the alternative to Bush, well, Bush was so horrible, anything's going to be better. But that's not true. Because Bush was unpopular, he couldn't get his full agenda through. Now it's the Bush agenda on steroids with different rhetoric and platitudes and a softer, less arrogant hand. So they're going to be able to get more of the agenda through. And it's so elementary, but then so complex for people at the same time to grasp. You know, let's just get into... And I see these articles every day. I saw this one this morning on Bloomberg. It's linked up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I had to run out the door to get here to the studio, so I just did a quick search because I remembered another article from last week where the number two of the Defense Department is a big lobbyist for a firm that actually gave money to Obama. And my point in all of this is I did this search in about 10 seconds, printed it, and ran out the door. Barely got here in time. I could have sat there for hours doing research because I've come across it in the last month. All the people he said he would appoint or he has appointed, even before he was sworn in, who are high-powered lobbyists. Now, remember, he promised that he would never do that and swore he wouldn't do it. And then I go around to different blogs and places with the, quote, liberals defending it, saying, oh, he never said that, or, oh, it's all right, or, oh, you got to work with people. The point is, we have to get past this whole left-right show and get down to the real issues, and it is business as usual. Mitchell's firm lobbied for Dubai's ruler in camel jockey case. George Mitchell, President Barack Obama's special Middle East troubleshooter, was chairman of the law firm that was paid $8 million representing Dubai's ruler in connection with a child trafficking lawsuit. Now, isn't there wheels within wheels there? Plots within plots. You see, you only see this stuff pop up here and there, but if you actually do a search, DynCorp Halliburton and other companies involved in over 1.2 million children and women trafficked out of Central Europe alone. That was back in 2002 in BBC reports. I mean, the snuff films, it's so unimaginable that it makes your head spin. And you've got the supposed Muslim, you know, hardcore radical Muslim Wahhabist country, Saudi Arabia. And I haven't just read it in the news. I've talked to scores of contractors, military people, business folks, oil consultants who have lived in Saudi Arabia. And you've got thousands and thousands, what is it, close to 10,000 princes and princelings. Because, you know, these guys may have 10, 15, 20, 100 wives. They may have 300, 400 children, some of them. Usually they only have about 20 or 30. And they're all princelings. And then their children are all princelings. And it is just every form of decadence and wickedness you can imagine. I mean, it is just off the charts in their big armored compounds. Kidnapped women, kidnapped children. Israel ships a lot of them in, sells them to Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia buys them. And I mean, this is going on. But the point is, here's Bloomberg today, just a mention of this. Paid $8 million representing Dubai's ruler in connection with child trafficking lawsuit. So you can't have any criminal charges because, you know, it's a imperial monarchy there in Saudi Arabia set up by the British. Literally Lawrence of Arabia. The DLA Piper law firm did legal and lobbying work on the case, which alleged that Dubai's Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum and another official used children kidnapped from other countries to ride as jockeys in camel races. The firm lobbied federal agencies, members of the U.S. House, and about two dozen Senate officials, including those of Obama, Vice President Biden, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2006, 2007, according to Justice Department foreign agent disclosures. Mitchell, 75, who isn't retired, a registered lobbyist, didn't lobby either on the issue of Dubai generally. DLP Piper partner Bill Miner said in an email that Mitchell, a former Democratic senator from Maine, mainly focused on growth and management at the firm for almost 4,000 attorneys and 65 offices worldwide in a high-profile project such as the investigation of steroid use in Major League Baseball. Mitchell's firm had extensive lobbying clients and offices in the Middle East. Let me read that again. Mitchell's firm had extensive lobbying clients and offices in the Middle East, ranging from the leader of Dubai to Kuwait, construction firm contracting in Iraq. The firm also has offices in Egypt, Oman, Qatar, Abu Dhabi, and has an affiliation with a law firm in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Mitchell traveled to Dubai and spoke to the press there about the issue. Suit thrown out. The camel jockey suit was thrown out after the U.S. Justice Department and Miami federal judge that it planned to intervene and argue that Al Maktoum was immune from the suit as a foreign leader. So that's Mitchell actually doing something good. But then notice they give the headline about him going after, you know, trafficking and kidnapped people for slavery. And it's in textile plants, it's in factories, it's sex slave, it's, you know, most of the people that Halliburton kidnapped, according to the press, it wasn't for sex slavery, though tens of thousands it was. They would grab Iraqis, grab Central Asians, grab others, and fly them out to different places around the world in brick factories or textile plants. I mean, it's just flat-out slavery. But it goes on and on here. The point is that they are bringing in lobbyists. Now, that case isn't as bad as this one. Obama picks defense lobbyists for Pentagon's second position. Now, I picked a liberal publication just so people don't think this is some right-wing spin here. This is out of the Huffington Post. President-elect Obama, trying to enforce strict rules on special interest influence, his administration butted up against what some said was inevitable. See, they're saying, oh, it's inevitable, he has to do it. The perfect person for a top Pentagon post recently lobbied for a major defense contractor. Viewing it as crucial selection, Obama picked William J. Lynn, the third senior vice president for Raytheon Corporation, as the number two at the Defense Department, Obama aides said. Lynn's credentials appear ideal for the deputy. See, so there's the spin. Oh, he's ideal, so he did it. The point is that he's filling his administration with high-powered lobbyists and revolving door executives. It's not even a lobbying issue. If the issue is, and he said he wouldn't do this, people that donated to him, he's appointing them in senior positions. in the giant cash machine that is the defense contractor industry.
Are you one of the millions of people who make New Year's resolutions? Are you also one of the millions who wind up breaking those resolutions? Would you like to keep at least one of those resolutions this year? Well, right now, success is one click away. Let this be the year you are going to protect yourself year-round. Pepperspray.com can help keep you safe by offering you the largest assortment of pepper spray and other personal safety devices on the web. Check out our monthly specials, as well as receiving a 10% savings by using coupon code GCN when you shop at pepperspray.com. Be proud of yourself this year for taking the biggest and easiest step in self-defense and shop pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. Pepperspray.com wishes you and yours a safe and happy 2009.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 27, 2009. Gold opened this morning at $899.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $925.55, $462.77 for a half ounce, $231.39 for the quarter ounce. That's $925.55, $462.77, and $231.39.
On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Attention. This is an extremely urgent, self-reliant news bulletin. If you have ever wanted to produce your own cheaper-than-dirt survival food, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Here is why. This network has just learned of a new video course that reveals the secrets of how to safely prepare and store all types of survival foods in an event of social unrest and food shortages here in the U.S. Grain shortages and hunger are spreading across the globe. Will troops guard the food supplies in the U.S. this fall? Don't wait. Learn the food shortage skills that can keep you and your family alive in a crisis. Get the details at foodshortageusa.com. That's foodshortageusa.com. Or you can call toll-free 877-327-0365. Don't wait for empty shelves. Go to foodshortageusa.com while you still have time. www.foodshortageusa.com or toll-free at 877-327-0365. Act now.
Riders on the storm.
So Barack Obama, in the first 6-8 months of his campaign, until he got neck and neck with Hillary, they do all the focus groups. They do the auditorium focus groups. They know what the people wanted. They had the polls. They knew that upwards of 80% were against the Afghan and Iraq wars. So he says these wars were bad. These wars were lies. We shouldn't be there. And then meanwhile, what are they doing? They're sending tens of thousands of U.S. Marines and Army soldiers out of Iraq, not home, but they're sending them to Afghanistan. And then I know a lot of people who've joined the military. I know a lot of families that have people in the military. Ted Anderson's son has finished basic training a month ago. Ted went to his graduation in Georgia. Or was it South Carolina? Point is, he went there and they told him, yeah, he's going to be going to Afghanistan. So they're sending the new army recruits there. They're sending them to Iraq. And then Obama promised within 6 months to get the troops out of Iraq. Now he's saying, well, in 16 months, we will look at what we're going to do and start drawing down the force, but we're going to leave a permanent force there. And it's all what the Pentagon said. They set the policy. The elite set the policy. If you look at it, it's the same policy of Bush, just different rhetoric. They have built scores. You can debate how many bases, but it's over 100, over 30 large ones. They've got the big, quote, U.S. embassy that's really the big governmental command center that holds more than 3,000 people in the green zone in Baghdad that's cost billions of dollars to build. And they're going to keep U.S. troops there basically forever, indefinitely. It's a 100-year war, as Dick Cheney said. And then meanwhile, what does Biden come out and say? Obama administration warns public to expect rise in U.S. casualties. See, I'm against the war, not because George Bush was prosecuting it, but because it was a fraud and a lie. And now I'm against it when Obama's running it. It isn't about being caught up in Obama. The Obama administration warned the U.S. public yesterday to brace itself for an increase in American casualties as it prepares to step up the fight against al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan and the border regions of Pakistan. And that's why all these Republicans and Pat Robertson and these neocon think tanks and Max Boot are all saying, we're pleasantly pleased. We like Obama now. Against a background of widespread protests in Pakistan and Afghanistan over U.S. operations since Obama became president, the Vice President Joe Biden said yesterday the U.S. forces would be engaging in more operations and U.S. takes the fight to its enemies in the region. And we've had all these different experts on, even the former head of Pakistani intelligence, Hamid Ghul. But separate think tanks have said going in and every week with Bush and now Obama bombing and killing, and it always seems to be a wedding, quote, on accident, the Predator drone kills, you know, dropping a 1,000-pound bomb on them or Hellfire missiles. And then these different tribes, the Pashtuns and others, they start going and trying to overthrow the Pakistani government, which is seen as a puppet government of the globalists. And so that stirs up tension in the region, and they know these people are an eye for an eye. They know it's going to cause real terrorism. And then they could say, see, things are flaring up there. We've got to go to war with them. The Obama administration is to double the number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan to 60,000. And when asked in a television interview if the U.S. public should expect more American casualties, Biden said, I hate to say it, but yes, I think there will be an uptick. That's a quote. Greater U.S. involvement in Afghanistan is a political risk for Obama, but he doesn't care. He's in office now. With the danger that mounting American casualties can make the war as unpopular as Iraq. But see, the media isn't going to make an issue of it now. You see, they're going to not make hay out of it. They had to do that with Bush to then give you the next savior. Obama, and you wait, before they get rid of Obama in 4 to 8 years, whatever the elite decides, they will then demonize and destroy him so that you will then see the next guy as the savior. It's just basic elementary psychology. Obama, in his first military action as president, sanctioned 2 missile attacks inside Pakistan on Friday that killed 22 people, reportedly women and children among them. The attacks drew criticism from Pakistani officials at the weekend. And it goes on. Now, that was the London Guardian. Here is the Washington Times, a similar story. It says, Biden sees Afghan uptick. Vice President Joseph R. Biden said Sunday there will be an increase in uptick in American casualties in Afghanistan as the U.S. military increases its presence in that country, which he characterized as a real mess. So bombing it will certainly help, though. The vice president, because the government's on the verge of being overthrown by the radical Muslims that the United States in the 70s and 80s built up, which is what the globalists want. They want destabilization. The vice president's prediction prompted outrage from liberal anti-war groups who characterize it as cavalier, although a leading scholar at the Washington neoconservative think tank called Biden's remarks an overdue recognition of reality. So see, the neocons are going, oh, you're being reasonable. You're listening to Cheney. And Newsweek had that cover story going, oh, Obama starts to listen to the Cheney doctrine. He's learning from Cheney. Oh. Afghan President Hamid Karzai foreshadowed other difficulties Sunday with any surge of U.S. forces in the country, condemning a U.S. occupation operation that has killed 16 Afghan civilians and demanded greater Afghan control of U.S. military operations. So the puppet, the Unicol executive Karzai saying, get out. The puppet Maliki in Iraq saying, get out. These are supposedly free countries not run by the globalists in the U.S. But notice, there's an increase in troops.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame, blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
You worry. You see the signs and worry about the future. You worry about economic turmoil and food shortages. How to be prepared while preserving your sanity? Your answer may be at hand. Author Linda Runyon lived off the land, isolated from civilization. She knows that as long as the sun shines, there will be plenty of free food all over God's green earth. Perhaps the only sane insurance is knowledge of wild edible plants. The cost of learning is minimal. Wild food grows everywhere, and you will see it everywhere. It's every bit organic and more nutritious than our modern diets. Well respected in her field, Linda's approach to teaching this subject includes books, flashcards, and video, with an emphasis on health, safety, practicality, and joy. Learn how to identify it, where and when to find it, how to prepare, use, and store it. Go to Linda's website, ofthefield.com, and take advantage of special offers. Or if you're not online, call her 24-hour toll-free order line at 888-51-EAT-FREE. That number again, 888-51-EAT-FREE. A little knowledge makes starvation impossible.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades in this atomic age.
And we're the renegades. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we are live, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave, the satellite, and the internet at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And we're turning the heat up here. Instead of making 2 films a year, I'm going to start making 3 or 4 films a year. We are going to start the audio blogs, which we've done. I'm going to start a daily 5-minute, 5-day-a-week news video boil-down newscast. We're working on developing the TV show. We are expanding our servers, expanding the bandwidth for the sites so they load quicker. Trying to make the message boards better. We are reaching millions and millions of people a week, and the key is, conservatively, we're reaching hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new people every week, tens of millions in the aggregate over the year. And that is thanks to all of you spreading the word about the broadcast and the work that we are doing here. Just a program note the new film we're working on feverishly. I was up here till 12:30 again last night working with Aaron Dykes and Rob Jacobson, The Obama Deception. You can watch that trailer now with 36,010 views. and that is online right now at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com with links to the new trailer for the film. And there will be, in the next few weeks, we'll be releasing some clips, some basic boil-downs of the film, some of the highlights of the film. Okay, some of the other news, I want to just mention what's coming up, and then we're going to go to your phone calls. Pocket Obama compared to Mao's Little Red Book by irate Amazon customers. Former Bush speechwriter, CIA torturers are American heroes. ADHD drugs cause hallucinations in children. Psychiatry pushes hallucinogenic drugs for profit. Demand for Israeli war crime probe grows. Obama chooses Arab network for first TV interview. Uranium for Iran nuke in 2009, a Sky Television headline. Very deceptive because it is for peaceful purposes, according to the inspectors and others. But that headline is, the nuke, they're getting the nukes. Iran will have enough enriched uranium to make a single nuclear weapon later this year, the Prestigious International Institute for Strategic Studies predicts. But the CIA assessment says it'll take 7 more years for them to do that. You know, the same prestigious groups that told us Iraq had WMDs. UN crime chief says drug money flowing into banks. Gee, tell me something I didn't know, like the sun coming up this morning. And there's more and more reports from different meteorological organizations and universities that the 2008-2009 winter is one of the coldest in modern historical records. In fact, in Alaska, in Minnesota, in many other areas, in Las Vegas, in Dubai, of all places, and the United Arab Emirates, they're having snow in Saudi Arabia, record in the desert, record cold temperature. So they're breaking records all over the world, and the United Nations and other universities doing studies have been caught falsifying meteorological data last year, claiming it was the hottest ever on record when it was actually one of the coldest in decades. Now going into this year, it looks like it's going to break even other records. You can go pull those numbers up if you'd like to, but here's a story along those lines today. Gore hearing on warming may be put on ice from the Drudge Report. Al Gore is scheduled before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Wednesday morning to once again testify on the urgent need to combat global warming with global taxes, I would add. But Mother Nature seems ready to freeze the proceedings. A winter storm watch has been posted, and he has a link to the mainstream article on that. Winter storm watch has been posted for the nation's capital, and there is a potential for significant snow, sleet, or ice accumulations. I can't imagine the Democrats would want to showcase Mr. Gore and his new findings on global warming as a winter storm outside. Republican lawmaker emailed the Drudge Report. And if the ice really piles up, it will not be safe to travel. A spokesman for Senator John Kerry, who chairs the committee, was not immediately available to comment on the contingency plans. Global warming advocates have suggested this year's wild weather spells are proof of climate change developing. So now it's not global warming. Now suddenly it's climate change. But they always do that during the winter. They know everybody is about perception being reality. So in the hottest days of July and August, they'll always say, look at how hot it is. It's incredible. People are dying because they don't have money for air conditioning in Chicago. People always die if they don't have money for air conditioning in Chicago. And it's a shame that they turn people's power off during the winter and summer months in the South and in the North. Speaking of that, I want to play a little clip from this AP piece, which was a fair piece. I've got some of the local news pieces that make excuses for the fact that this World War II vet died. But this is what's going on in the economic downturn as they turn people's power off when they're living in freezing temperatures. So let's. And by the way, when they found him, again, he had his stove open. He was by the stove, dead, and in front of him, and they've now ruled, the coroner's ruled, that it was hypothermia, with all this money piled up, with change and dollars and you know everything piled up to try to go pay the back bill. But, hey, eugenics has followed its course. He froze to death. Let's go ahead and play that clip.
Officials in one central Michigan city are trying to determine exactly how a 93-year-old World War II veteran froze to death inside his own home. Marvin Schur owed more than $1,000 in unpaid electric bills, so the local power company restricted his use.
We're very saddened by the news of the fact that this individual died of hypothermia.
On Monday, the medical examiner concluded that Schur died from hypothermia. When neighbors found his body January 17th, the temperature inside his Bay City home was below 32 degrees. The power company, Bay City Electric Light and Power, had placed a shutoff device on the door just 2 days before.
The city has reviewed its practice, and we will start making personal contact with homeowners that are faced with a utility shutoff during the winter months.
Neighbors say when they found Schur, there was a utility bill on his kitchen table with a large amount of money clipped to it. They assume the World War II vet intended to pay his outstanding bill.
It's wonderful that they're going to change it, but it's too bad common sense didn't prevail with their policy. And it's too bad that there's a need for a change. It should have been that way from the very beginning.
There will be a memorial service for Schur on Wednesday. The city, which owns the power company, says the situation remains under investigation. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
Okay, watching the other newscast, they make excuses and go, well, the device allows him a small amount of power, enough to heat one or two rooms, not enough to run a stove. So their little bureaucratic excuse is, well, we put a device that limits it where you can heat a few rooms. And then they show video of the house, and there's snow piled up in the front yard up to the windows. The guy was snowed in. So he snowed in, and other newscasts report that he probably didn't even understand or know about these new devices. So imagine him huddled up by the stove, freezing to death, wanting to get out of the house to go pay the bill, and wondering why the stove was off. Well, they say on the newscast that there wouldn't be enough power to run the stove, you see. So isn't that sick? And they bureaucratically, that's how bureaucrats work, make the excuse of, well, you know, he had enough power to heat a few rooms. As if there's a fix-all they can have. As if they, you know what power systems or what heating systems are in the house. If it's central heating and cooling, then you wouldn't have enough power if it's limited to fire the whole thing up. And so the guy's huddled up by the stove, and there's not power, so he can just freeze to death. And I saw earlier newscasts from a week ago when he first had died, back on the 17th, 18th, and it was like going, why didn't his family help him? Well, we're not sure yet. If he froze to death, let's just hold back a judgment on this. You can Google 93-year-old vet freezes to death or found dead, and you can. I watched like four newscasts this morning on it. But the AP is the best, most balanced report, so I thought I'd play a clip of that to analyze it and break it down, give them some credit. So coming up is Gerald Celente in an hour and 16 minutes. Then we got Wayne Madsen joining us as well to get into the latest NSA spying and, you know, is anything really changing under Obama? He worked for the National Security Agency. We'll also get up to speed on some other scandals that are going on. I'm also going to play a clip of this Bush administration official just really laying on the propaganda and saying people that tortured folks are heroes. But right now, let's go to your phone calls. Janelle in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex Jones. Hi, oh goodness, my first time. I subscribed to your show about 3 weeks ago, I believe.
Oh, thank you for the support. You mean you subscribed to PrisonPlanet.tv?
Yeah, PrisonPlanet.com, that's right. Well, at first, you might not like some of the things I said at first, because when I first discovered your show was after, you know, the Obama election, and I kind of did my little research about Obama, and come to find out this man has been promoted to be president for 4 years since he became, pretty much just became a U.S. senator, if I could recall, because I did a little research. And then I started looking into Zeitgeist, and it was a pretty good documentary and all, but then I saw, you know, a couple, you know, on Google search, I saw your face on there. So I was curious, and when I first heard you, I say, oh, my goodness, this sounds like a conspiracy theorist. So I subscribe to your show to see what it's all about and come to find out that you're really not. And just about everything you say so far is backed up by documents.
All right, well, man, let me just throw something out here. Because I see this in the comments on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I never know if it's disinfo or if people are just ignorant of it. I have never charged for my radio show. So if you felt like you had to subscribe to get the radio show, there are free audio streams 24 hours a day of the radio show in 32-bit, 16-bit. So that's going out. I mean, this isn't what you're calling about, but since you mentioned it as a sub-issue, I want to bring it up. We have never charged for this radio show, not on the AM and FM dial, not on global shortwave, not on internet, not on satellite. What we do have is for PrisonPlanet.tv members. In, I think it's 54, 56-bit. What's the members' audio in? And because that costs us money to put that out. It all costs us money, so we try to let members have higher quality. Hey, why don't we put the members' audio out in the archive out, guys? What bit rate is that? 64. Okay, 64 kilobit, which is, you know, marked increase in quality. So it's free at 32, which is pretty darn good. But you can hear the difference at 64. And just serving out the podcast is in 32, right? Just serving out the podcast to 125,000 and growing by 4,000 or 5,000 new subscribers a week on average. Just serving it out to 125,000 and growing every week. So every day we serve it out. Cost us, what's it costing now? It was like 4,000 or 5,000 last time I checked. I'm guessing it's gone up to 6,000 a month. How much bandwidth is that podcast costing us? Over $5,000. Okay, over $5,000. So it's free to everybody. You can go subscribe to it, and we appreciate you doing that. And that's our whole goal. It just, that's why I then have sponsors and I, you know, sit here and say, buy my videos, because this isn't free for us. But I just want it on record. The podcast is free. And if I had the money, the PrisonPlanet.tv live stream show would be free. But video is many times more expensive bandwidth-wise, bandwidth-intensive, as they say. And so what we do is, quite frankly, it is the PrisonPlanet.tv members, and I say being a member is like donating, who are supporting us getting it out to free to everybody else. So it's really you're pledging. Like this is public radio or something. You're getting higher quality. You're getting, you know, first access to things. You're getting all my films in super high quality. A lot of other films we've been authorized to post. The radio show in an archive in higher quality. My weekly TV reports, behind the scenes, expanded extras. That's what you get at PrisonPlanet.tv. And then that finances everything being free for everybody else. And so people are really helping us get the message out that way. So digressing, I think I remember your voice. You calling up and halfway disagreeing with me going after Obama, if that was you.
Well, that was me because, you know, I'm going to go ahead and touch on the subscription. I like your subscription. I'm going to continue being a member because, you need the money and then finance to put the truth out. And
yes,
your videos are free in Google, too, because I search Google search, and a lot of your documentaries are free as well.
Not a lot. All of them. Everything we do is free.
All of them. Yeah, all of them.
And ma'am, we don't just have them out there for free. We post them for free, and we link on the sites.
Yeah, I do see that. So, yeah, I can't.
And we also
that.
Don't
all
stop
your,
all these people on eBay.
All that you do have is free. But let me touch on that part right quick. The only reason why I disagree with you. I agree with you a lot of things you said about Obama, but I disagree with the person, I forgot, Webster Griffin, I forgot his name.
Tarpley.
Tarpley, who wrote the only thing I said, really, it's not that I disagree, it's what he said, that he was just saying Obama's a fascist and didn't say anything about McCain, like he was just pro-Obama, just pro-McCain and not and anti-Obama.
And that's the main reason.
He's a pro-Republican. That's what my impression of him was, and I didn't like to hear that. And that's why.
No, I understand. I understand. I understand. It came off as partisan. That's why I couldn't really bring myself until I saw the media worshiping him the last month or two of the election to get into the partisan debate because I realized how destructive it was and there was no way I could endorse McCain either. Tarpley clearly went over to the lesser of two evils in his political argument saying this guy is the heir apparent. This is the New World Order candidate. Anything but Obama, and I think he's been borne out to be correct, but I could understand how in hindsight, you know, earlier that did come off as political, did come off as punditry, you know, did come off as kind of a, you know, something partisan. But when we say Obama's a fascist, Tarpley is a great mind. He speaks like four languages. I know history very well. He knows more than I do about many areas of history. He is stunningly intelligent. I will tell you that. He does get things wrong, like saying they were going to attack Iran. I said, no, they're not. He even gave a date. He was wrong 2 years ago. But I'm wrong about things, too. The point is, he is stunningly right about what happened, and it's the advisors. We know who Obama is because we know who his advisors are and what they've done in the past and what their agenda is. And what their real agenda is 170 degrees, not completely different, but almost completely different than what Obama's real agenda is. Do you see what we're saying?
I'm gonna stay there.
Because I've been adding to everything you're saying, so I want to come back to you, and then we'll go to other callers as well. Look, the system is all behind Obama. We know the system is evil. He's here to sucker people, to make them feel good while they get their new world order through on us, and they're gonna destroy him in the end.
Stop wasting your time struggling with everything you're trying to learn. Learning should be a pleasure, not torture. The School of Phenomenal Memory gives you the training and tools you need to memorize any type of information quickly and efficiently. Just as you need to exercise to get your body into shape, you need to exercise mentally to improve your memory. The School of Phenomenal Memory will act as your personal trainer, guiding you through a series of 60 lessons. Once completed, you will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, guaranteed. Our course is not based on classic mnemonic techniques or other tricks that you simply can't apply in real life. Instead, the School of Phenomenal Memory uses the latest breakthrough and scientific understanding of how memory works, applying techniques based on natural mechanisms of your brain and memory. Start exercising your brain today at pmemory.net and receive Secrets of a Phenomenal Memory, the amazing ebook absolutely free. Visit pmemory.net. The time is now. Learn how to memorize entire books today.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Okay, Janelle in Georgia, make your points without me interrupting.
All right. Well, Alex Jones. Well, good Lord, I'm trying to get my thoughts together now. Well, okay. Although I watch your show a lot, I do. You back up your stuff with truth. The thing I really got to say, especially to the African-American community, well, actually, as coming from an African-American myself, I really wish they'd wake up and really pay attention to Obama's policies and not just be blindsided because he's, you know, he's black, he's black like us, and he's a position of power, is the most powerful man in the world. We've seen black faces in high places before, and they haven't really served and done anything for us during that time. I mean, and during a time while they're in high places, like black secretaries of state, you got these black athletes who are making all this money, black rappers who are not really doing anything for their community. Only a few of them I can think of who have, you know, a few black people who in those positions of power.
And that was my next point. Of. Do you know who has done more than anybody? It's KRS-One.
Yeah,
while he was in Texas.
I listened to him. He was on your show, and he made a terrific point there. And another thing, it's like, it's not just when white people criticize Obama's policies for being racist. If black people, if like myself, was to say or criticize or critique Obama's policies and knowing that he's maybe a George Bush with steroids or something, then I'm an Uncle Tom, I'm a sellout. Because if, you know, I'm saying, oh, Obama's going to be like George Bush. Oh, would you, you're a sellout. You're a sellout. I'm a sellout. I'm weird. I'm different. I mean, I have a if his policies are not is not much different than George Bush. I mean, although he campaigned and said his policies are different, and one time I was a supporter of Obama, I voted for Obama. Everything was great because he said something, you know, that to me, I thought he was more honest than the rest of these politicians.
He ran against Bush. He ran against Hillary, who were all pro-war, pro-spying, pro-torture, and he said it was all wrong. Now, going back to KRS-One, when he was here in Texas, and he does this worldwide, he goes around speaking out against violence, out against the gang culture, and a lot of that culture has actually gotten better. It's gotten less violent, and he is credited by major publications like Rolling Stone for being the main voice that has led the anti-violence movement. And so he puts his money where his mouth is. But then there I was with about 1,000 people watching him Saturday night. I was invited to a show, and I was there behind the stage. And he got up, and everybody was cheering him, yelling, screaming. And he got up, and he said, the New World Order now has a black face. I'm not down with Obama. I'm down with Alex Jones against the New World Order. 9/11 was an inside job. And a few, I'd say 20-30% cheered. Nobody booed. But I'd say 70% of the crowd, black, white, Hispanic, you know, Asian, it was a very mixed crowd. I'd say it was about half white. They just got quiet. So imagine the incredible courage of KRS-One. He isn't bashing Obama 3-4 years from now, and everybody knows he's a sellout and a front man and a traitor. He's doing it now. And because he knows the truth, he understands that the truth comes first. He knows who Obama's advisors are. He knows that the mainstream-controlled media is behind him, and so he's not a sucker. And KRS-One said in an interview I did with him, we'll be playing later in the week, he said, I hope that I am wrong. He said, I hope that I get proven wrong. He said, I hope that that Obama makes me look like a fool. But he said, I know this. If Obama does actually try to do the right thing, they're going to try to go after him physically like they did Kennedy. So that's the evidence. Ma'am, this is a trap. Just like it was a trap with Bush. These are front men. They're going to build him up, say he did the whole agenda. Then the people are going to find out it's a bad agenda, and they're going to blame it on Obama. The establishment is, the very media that's built him up. Instead of us ever looking at the elite and the actual franchise owners of the system, not the Burger King manager, George Bush, or Barack Obama.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, friends. This is Alex Jones. I've told you for a long time it's important to be self-sufficient. And today, that's more important than ever. We need to be independent, and food and water is the key. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. You'll never have to go to the Superdome and beg for FEMA to take care of your family in any emergency if you simply prepare. No one is going to take care of your family in the final equation but you. You know eFoodsDirect.com is still able to ship storable food that's safe from E. coli, salmonella, genetic alteration, or Chinese imports. And they do it at almost half the cost of last year's grocery prices. Call 1-800-409-5633 or on the web, go to eFoodsDirect.com. Visit eFoodsDirect.com and look over the fine list of high-quality, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods they have to offer. Watch the free videos, look at their online catalog, or give them a call at 1-800-409-5633. Again, 800-409-5633, or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com. Take action today. The first step is getting storable food.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live now into hour number two. In 60 minutes, we will be joined by trends forecaster, futurist, predictor, Gerald Celente, then former NSA employee, operative. Wayne Madsen will be joining us, continuing with open phones. Let's go ahead and talk to Dave in Florida, then Troy and others. Dave, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Alex. Just got a couple of quick questions about different subjects.
Go ahead.
When I'm trying to wake people up about chemtrails, the thing I most often hear is, how would they avoid the effects of chemtrails? How do you think that is?
It's so heavily compartmentalized that I would say 99.9% of people in government and in the system aren't even aware of what's going on, or they're aware, they're not involved in it. That's how compartmentalization works. And a lot of the elites then, they have treatments and they have cures that they've suppressed from the public. But a lot of times these globalists are such ideologues, they don't even care if it hurts them. They're on this holy mission to reduce the world's population, or they make excuses. I mean, we have a world elite that knowingly, several hundred times, you can pull the actual number up, detonated in the 50s and 60s in the upper atmosphere, blowing holes in the ozone layer in the Pacific and over New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, high-powered hydrogen bombs in the atmosphere, saying they believe that it might have ignited the entire atmosphere. You know, they admit that the Hadron Heavy Collider, you know, they say, well, there is a small chance it could create a black hole or a strangelet, or could, you know, create a giant explosion, colliding these heavy particles like uranium and plutonium and other things together through this thing, speeding them up. It's like a high-powered energy beam, particle beam. But they say, but don't worry about destruction. Then they put the god Shiva of creation and destruction, idol, up over the giant complex in CERN, Switzerland. The things they're doing do affect us. They have genetically modified all these organisms. They put them out open air, knowing that it's hurting the biosphere and causing real environmental degradation. The elite are very nihilistic, very destructive. Regardless, they're doing it. But as for chemtrails, it's now in government textbooks. It's now in government research. Like, they'll deny it on the news, but then they'll have Paul Watson's written articles a few months ago that had all the mainstream links where universities and the Department of Energy admit they're terraforming, they're changing the Earth's atmosphere. And again, it's compartmentalized. You've got three major companies. There's a bunch of subsidiaries that mix and produce, refine at the refineries, most of the jet fuel. And then the way the engines are designed, they can just add the different particuli, the aluminum salts, the barium, into it, and then it's dispersed, and those things happen to be the very key things used in cloud seeding. And so you'll see a blue sky in Austin, Texas in the summer, winter, doesn't matter, 3,000-4,000 feet. Ice crystals aren't supposed to form there. And they'll just cover the sky from end to end. It'll be a blue sky when the planes fly by. And when I was a kid or when I was a teenager, the trails disappeared in seconds my whole life. And now it just end to end covers the whole sky. Something has changed. And then they deny it. And then now, even major news has gone out and tested what's being sprayed. It is barium salts, aluminum dioxide, all these different things. And they are manipulating the atmosphere. And NASA reported that the Earth has gotten 20% darker 20% more cloud cover. You can see satellite photos over all the major countries, just all the lines. They don't go away. They form. They create cloud banks. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I got one more question. Can you hold me over?
Sure. All right, we'll come right back with Dave, and then we'll go to Troy. We'll go to John. We'll go to Tony. We'll go to Randy and many others. And then I've got a bunch of other news on torture we're going to be getting into, and then Gerald Celente and Wayne Madsen. I'm Alex Jones. Check out PrisonPlanet.tv today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wide open phones in this hour and in the next hour with Gerald Celente, as well as Wayne Madsen. Right now, let's go back to your calls. Dave in Florida had another question. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, let's kind of just related to that before. With the depopulation agenda, why do you think they would need a NAFTA superhighway if 90% of the people were going to be dead? You know, and other all the surveillance and other things it seems like they're doing are really don't seem like they would be necessary in that with 90% of the people gone.
Okay, the issue is, and then I'll intellectually and analytically with common sense, critical thinking, go through the main body of your question. But the serious issue here is, do official United Nations biological diversity assessments say that they want an 80% reduction in the world's population? And the answer is yes, that's in my film with the date and name and close-ups of the documents. These aren't internet pages or copies of them. This is from the UN. This was from the UT library. Do all these big universities say that's the number? Does Ted Turner and Prince Philip and all these world leaders say that 80% number? Do a lot of the academics and government reports now say 90% reduction? Yes, they're getting more extreme. So that is going on. But it's done incrementally. This is done over decades. They need to put a worldwide government control grid in place first to have the orderly bureaucratic management of the population, to then first put taxes on having more than one child, to economically degrade things so badly that people can't afford to have children, as Nancy Pelosi's been talking about, as in my film Road to Tyranny. We have a Fox News clip where they say, not Road to Tyranny, Endgame, where they say, you know, having children's what's making the planet worse. We got to stop it. Same thing Pat Robertson said, the quote pro-lifer, saying China's doing what it has to do with UN, Planned Parenthood. It needs to be more aggressive. Obama doubling the funding for China and Africa and in China for forced abortions. That's even the Huffington Post coming out and saying he's funding forced abortions. That's not Alex Jones. This is their agenda. Now, why do they need the NAFTA superhighways? To get control of the United States, these are international zones and what they call inland ports, international trade zones, that are not part of the United States, that through NAFTA, GATT, SPP, and other bureaucratic treaties, many of which are outside Congress's authority, see, Congress signed over its authority in NAFTA and GATT, now separately under those powers, now these unelected bureaucrats, revolving door out of the corporations, are now going to take over the 34 major interstate highways. We have all the maps in Endgame, official maps, documents, their own statements. Judicial Watch sued, got the BAMP Canada, 2007 September meeting, September 23rd, 24th, where they say, first agenda, we've got to keep this secret. We need a carbon tax. We need to use these roads to control people. We need to use the military against the American people. And now that's all mainstream news about the military to be used against us. But the point is, we tell folks when it's in the policy reports before it's made widely public. So they need those roads as international zones along the buffer corridors to then build walls off the exit ramps to block off the rural communities as they're already doing on many toll roads. I-35 up into Kansas and Oklahoma, drive up there and look, all these ghost towns as you drive, you can't exit off. The McDonald's and gas stations every 30, 40, 50 miles are in the center of the highway where you can't get off. You're like a prisoner. And they need those to, like the Romans used roads to tax and control populations that they dominated in the 20-something in some cases more nations in history that they controlled at the peak of their empire, they're going to use this to tax, regulate, and bring in international control on those roads, so the roads will no longer be part of the United States, Mexico, or Canada. They will be part of this international zone and international bureaucracy, and they will use those to levy and raise taxes. So this isn't something where they just kill 80% of us overnight. They build the grid, they get control, they start the world carbon tax, they make it impossible to be able to fund having children. By having carbon taxes, they shut down the family farms, ranches, small factories, businesses with regulations, ship what's left of industry overseas where there's no regulations or environmental standards to further consolidate wealth into the hands of fewer and fewer. And so this is a process of enslavement, and it's very hard for them to do. So we're not saying they're going to succeed. We're stating what their ultimate goal is and what they want to carry out.
Yeah, all right. Well, one other thing. I was just wondering what you thought. Why do you think that all the Hollywood people that you know and big-time people and wealthy people, rich people, why do you think nobody's ever just given you $1 million or, you know, half a million or just something so you wouldn't have to spend so much time advertising?
I hear you. I appreciate your call. That is another really important, complex question. But first, let me see the Hollywood. Let me write that down before I forget. Hollywood, answer that question. But I want to go back to your first question because I said I was going to fully answer that. And what was the point I was going to make? Well, A, just that it's their stated goal, so that's the fact. It isn't about whether Alex Jones is right or not. That's what they're stating. So it's not about me. That's what they're saying they're going to do. The question is, will they be able to do it? Will we let them? On the subject of Hollywood, I have probably had, I don't know, 20 or more very prominent Hollywood stars call me over the years and say, hey, I just want you to know I really like your show. If you're ever in Los Angeles, here's my number. I'd like to take you out to lunch or you can stay at my house. You know, my son's autistic. I woke up to this because he was 18 months old and we gave him the vaccines and now he's autistic. And then I was doing research and found you and boy, you're right. Or, hey, yeah, I'm in Hollywood. You won't believe, you know, at this level, how many CIA people are involved trying to control what we produce and what we do. And a reason that a lot of these Hollywood people call me is they get into all this stuff, they wake up to what's going on, they just want to reach out to somebody. And I'm the most prominent. And let me tell you, I've missed more of the calls and missed more of the emails or ended up never calling people. Like I had somebody super famous call me last week and I haven't even called him back. And then the number was somewhere in a stack here and I haven't even spent time to find it to call him because I'm so busy with my mission. But the Hollywood folks contact me because I'm the biggest game in town in the fight against the New World Order. Not saying we're that big, but out of this pantheon of people resisting, we're the most prominent, it could be argued, decisively. But the other reason is they watch people. A lot of times I talk to Hollywood people, they go, I've been listening to you for 4 or 5 years, been seeing, you know, what you do, what you say. Most of the time Hollywood were to contact somebody, they would immediately say, try to take control of them, give me a bunch of money, come out and, endorse everything I'm doing. I don't really ask for anything from them. I don't really do that. I mean, just a few years ago, I was not asking for donations. Well, I guess about a year ago, I was not doing the advertising I needed to expand. I was not worried about funding things to grow. Now I am because I realize it's up to us. We've got a responsibility. But to be quite frank with you, I've thought about calling up prominent people and wealthy people, not just Hollywood folks I know, and saying, give me $100,000. You know, sounds like a lot, folks. That's nothing with a business and an operation. Anybody that has a business knows that. Folks that don't have a business don't understand. I just don't like bringing myself to do it because Hollywood people and prominent people and wealthy people almost get an allergy to people asking them for things or asking for money. And now I'm known in Hollywood somewhat as not burning people, as not being grasping, as not being somebody trying to mash them or squeeze them or get something. I'm known by a lot of people in music and entertainment as not really trying to get anything out of somebody. And these people are all owly. I mean, as soon as I do say, hey, why don't you come on the show, they're like, okay, let me talk to my manager about it. And the manager says, no, don't do it. Or I do get some big shot to say, hey, let's do an event or let's get the word out. And then behind the scenes, they get death threats, and a venue they're going to be at gets death threats. You see, so there's also dirty tricks that are going on out there. And so these Hollywood folks and music people and others, you know, they want to reach out, but they're scared and they have a lot to lose. And, you know, I didn't ever ask Charlie Sheen for the few gifts he's given me. He's given me some really nice things, not just the jacket he wore in the first big movie he was in, Red Dawn. You know, that just came in the mail one day. And, I mean, should I do something like that? I mean, should I start getting on the telephone and doing that? Maybe I should. The point is that I'm not some big organization and I'm not some religion. You know, this isn't Scientology 2.0. I'm not, you know, in that whole system of trying to get money out of people. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to fund my operations with films and advertising. But yes, you know, who really needs to donate is the American people. People who are out there, and you donate by buying the books and videos, by spreading the word about the show. You donate by supporting the sponsors. You know, we've had some good-sized donations over the years, and we have a little folder in there with the people's letters and whatever, and we send them a thank you note. I don't even have the staff or the time. I guess I could mail letters out to folks that have already given and say, we need more support. And yeah, if I got a couple $1 million, that would let us operate for a few years. I mean, that's how much 15, 16, 20 employees in a building and bandwidth and all the expenses cost. And also, we're not a 501c3, because I'm not going to have the government involved in what I do or what I say with my First Amendment. So, you know, my challenge every year is to spend all the money that comes in so I don't have to pay a bunch of taxes, to spend all the money on the operation. That's the goal here.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
All right, let's go back to the calls a little bit quicker here, because these questions are all important, but I've got to learn to answer them quickly.
Big John.
Let's go ahead and go back to the calls here. I need a new list. Some of these have hung up, and it's confusing. Who's up next, John? Jonathan in Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
Good. I just have one quick comment on Obama, and I have a challenge for you, Mr. Jones.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Just a couple days before the election, Halloween, Obama took his daughter out dressed up as a corpse queen, and all the major media was reporting that, and that's when I knew we were in for some pure evil with this guy. But anyway, Mr. Jones, as an intellectual person, I have to analyze where the truth lies within your show, and this is something that you're more of an expert on. But the psychology of listening to your show and your message could be a form of oppression if it does not offer solutions to the rampant treason you describe in our country. Basically, you know, this stuff is heavy, and we need a way out. So, Mr. Jones, I'd like to challenge you and all your listeners to do this for themselves, to use your platform and your website to offer resources on civil disobedience and protests within the laws, and maybe photography and videography, and most importantly, how to run for political offices at the local, state, and federal levels, especially Congress.
All right, well, let me stop you, sir. This is a very positive show by exposing, if your house is on fire and somebody comes and knocks on the door and tells you it's on fire, they're not being negative, they're telling you it's on fire. So we're telling people what's going on. We do give the resources. We do support political candidates. We do tell people how to run grassroots. We do tell them to get involved in city council. We do post videos about how to make films. We do post videos about political action. I mean, seeing is learning. I mean, we put it all up there. We support all the other major activists. We have this as a platform for basically everybody that's doing good work across the political spectrum. So there's no form of oppression here. This is empowerment, saying we can affect change. We can expose the left-right paradigm. We can get involved. And so, I mean, I'm not saying you're giving me criticism. I know that we all should, you know, take from this show that we need to all be individually taking action. And that's my entire message. So I'm not exactly sure what you're, I mean, are you specifically criticizing me for this? Or are you saying we need to remember this?
I'm not criticizing you. I mean, you've done a lot for this country, for me specifically, like waking up to the New World Order. But, you know, I just think...
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. I mean, I'm here to try to get people just to realize something bad's going on. And then you've got your own intellect. What are you going to do about it? Take one of my accomplishments that's really my listeners' accomplishments, because you took the ball and ran with it. I came out after the Patriot Act, wrote a big analysis of it, point by point, with the U.S. Code, and I said it allows secret arrest, it allows, you know, I went through sneak and peek, reading your library records, federalizing things, saying that misdemeanors are terrorism. We need counties, cities, and states to say we support the Bill of Rights and Constitution and will instruct our employees to not violate the law and to not violate the supreme law. And that was passed by 800-plus cities and 7 states. Because people did it. I mean, all we do is put out solutions here.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm just trying to be politically active myself, and I think one of the biggest challenges is trying to find resources out there that are going to help regular, good-hearted Americans be on ballots. And, I mean, every Secretary of State, from what I've heard, in every state is limiting who can get on the ballots, limiting the ways, you know, making it harder and harder for people to be politically active and get on the ballot. And I think that's, like, the greatest challenge. That, you know, to throw all these...
Well, sir, we've done countless shows about the electronic fraudulent machines, and we went from maybe 5% of people 6-7 years ago knowing that they were fraudulent to polls of 90-plus percent not trusting them, and some of them being removed. But as fast as we remove them from some states, after they have a few years of fraud, they're putting them in. You know, so we're really losing that battle because they get 2 steps forward, and then we push them back 2.5 steps, but they still get a half step forward. So all I do is try to cover every angle, every issue here on air, and then hope that people go and take action.
Right. Okay. Well, I think the only peaceful resolution to, you know, this is just real American men and women sitting to political office between now and 2010. That's why I just wanted to really call you up and, you know, see if you can really hone in on that maybe in the next couple of years to really try to push to get, you know, average Americans into the political process. And one way to expose, you know, all these voter frauds and everything is to get, you know, 50% of people in a state voting for a governor. And, you know,
I hear you. I got to jump here. The big reason they had to put Obama in, too, was because they saw Bush appointed basically twice. And so that's another reason there's so much support for Obama, because the same elite have done all these corrupt things previously. And now the public is rejecting the agenda, so they bait and switch us. But, you know, in the final analysis, well, we'll talk about it when we get back.
Your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who cares, your own personal Jesus, someone to hear your prayers, someone who's there. Feeling unknown and you're all alone, flesh and bone, by the telephone. Lift up the receiver, I'll make you a believer.
Man, I tell you, I am working too hard. I got Ted Anderson on the line as I go to break. Then I'm on KLBJ 93.7 doing a 3-minute freedom nugget live on air. I'm not whining. I'm just kind of scatterbrained at this point. There's too much going on. And that's why it's kind of irritating when listeners call in, not with solutions. I love solutions, love ideas. Just tell us what you think we ought to do. What I don't like is kind of putting it on me like you need to do this better or you need to lead this or that. Folks, I have to take a shower as fast as I can. And I'm somebody who likes to take 30-minute showers. I take like a 4-minute shower, lathering with soap, you know, washing my hair. I jump out, comb my hair straight back, shave real fast, brush my teeth, floss, you know, run in, try to hang out with my children, have breakfast. And then this morning as I'm driving off to work, they're in the front yard begging me to come home tonight. They just love me. I'm like a, you know, rock star to them, and I want to be with them. But then I need to be on air. I need to be making this film or we have no future. And I know every daddy, every mommy is like a rock star to their children. I just love them so much. So good, so innocent. And I compare their innocence and their goodness to the evil of the New World Order. Now I'm going to continue with your phone calls here. Brandon, Tony, Randy and Dave and others before Gerald Celente gets on with us. And I've got this Bush torture news I want to get to as well. You know, where are the calls to prosecute Bush from Obama? All we get is lobbyists filling his administration from the defense contractors and banking. All we get is a revolving door of corruption. All we get is more wars, more troops, troop buildups, warrantless spying. Oh, but he's going to close Guantanamo. He's going to look at it in the next year and decide what to do with indefinite detention. They're just continuing. And you watch, they're going to stage some terror attack. I can feel it in my bones. And then it'll be, well, you know, remember Bush? He said he wouldn't get in foreign wars. He was going to cut government. He was going to do all these things. And then, oh, he can't. The terrorists struck. Just as PNAC said, now they have to have Pax Americana, New World Order. I'm going to spend about 5 minutes with him because it's so hot right now. Gold's at about, what, 905 right now. It's up about, well, not about. It was just a few weeks ago. It was 805. So it's up about $100 right now. And I'm not going to belabor this long. I just want people to have an opportunity to protect themselves. I strongly believe in this. This is the decision that I have made. This is what I'm doing to try to protect myself with a, you know, small modicum as they devalue the dollar, as they go into hyperinflation. You know, $8.5 trillion to the bank so far, $1 trillion stimulus package that's birth control and euthanasia and paying off local governments with more semi-funded mandates. Yeah, a lot of this stuff's like 30% of it's federal, and then the state's got to raise 70% of the money to match it to get the federal that was from the states to begin with. I mean, this is an orgy of big government. And Ted Anderson had gold at 815, you know, priced in the market at 815 until Sunday. Then it went up to 830, made a major buy. That gold and silver is almost sold out. And if gold keeps sitting at above 900, it's going to go up to close to $900 an ounce to get it from Ted. Right now, for today, Ted Anderson has gold priced in the market at 830. That means he went in and bought this gold in the market when gold was at 830, and he's passing those savings on to you. Ted Anderson, good to have you on with us.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to be back up again, and it's really a pleasure to see the Republican side, Ron Paul, calling for an end to the Federal Reserve System, and Dennis Kucinich calling on the Democratic side to do the same thing. Obviously, we're creating some kind of an impact out there.
Yeah, you're right. Tell folks about that. They just had a banking committee meeting, and I forgot to tape that. Go tell the guys to get that tape. Ted, tell him about that.
Well, Dennis Kucinich is calling to bring the Federal Reserve System into the U.S. Treasury so it's owned by the taxpayers, which puts us still in a position of fiat currency. Ron Paul's talking about getting something back to something more constitutional.
Now, let's explain.
Like gold is money.
People think we're having a nationalization of the banks. No, it's an internationalization, privatization. They're just calling it government. The banks are getting government power and the power to set all the financial rules internationally over us. This is the New World Order. I saw that in a blurb. Where did you just see Kucinich say that?
Well, I have it posted on GCNlive.com if you want to go grab it from there, but it's on a YouTube video there.
So, yeah, that was a few days ago in the banking committee.
Yeah, right.
And
it's just refreshing. Yeah, I'm not saying that's happened this morning, but I'm just saying what's refreshing to see is that this issue is being dealt with. I mean, it is really the main core, the mainstream of what's really getting this economy in the first place. All this stimulus package is just to put us further on the hook, further in debt.
Ted, I did confirm, and we have him on coming on next week. A caller gave us a tip. One of the senior people at the American Enterprise Institute came out and said this is a foreign banker hijacking of the United States and fraud. So, again, mainline analysts are saying what we're saying.
They sure are, and that's the nice part about it, Alex. If we hadn't been doing what we've been doing for so many years, they wouldn't even be talking about this. Ron Paul can't do it alone as a lone voice. He needed the support. Now we have Democrats falling in line with them too, which is just amazing that, you know, I mean, not to say one political spectrum is any better than the other, because we both know they're just puppets of this elite, but nonetheless, they're starting to voice it. You're watching it on CNN and CNBC and, you know, all these different, you know, these different major news outlets. We needed this. This is the shot in the arm that may get this country back on track again.
Well, my film, The Obama Deception, is really 50% Obama and the fact that he's a puppet, a front man, a liar. He's gone back on almost everything he said he'd do, and that he has all these globalists in his cabinet and lobbyists. But it's really about shattering the fact, in the end, this is going to really help Obama not get his agenda through, but with the public to understand he didn't really do all this. In the end, when they destroy him, when they're done building him up to ram through the agenda, when they then want to blame it all on him like he actually ran it all, same thing with Bush, no, the real blame will fall on the global architects, the global elite, the engineers that openly are running all of this.
Yeah, you know, you just got to, when you get that video out there, just let me know, because I want to promote it as much as I can. There just isn't enough. I mean, we can't do enough. Everybody needs to reach out and inform their neighbors and their friends and family and let them know there's a real solution to this problem. And it sure in the heck isn't bringing on more government bailout and bigger government and putting this country further into debt to the people that are pulling the strings in the first place. We all know they created the problem, and giving them more power and control is just to increase the problem to be a bigger
absolutely
problem.
Ted Anderson, specifically give folks today's precious metals offer, and I can't reiterate this enough. You are not going to find this deal anywhere. In the market, companies don't even have gold and silver. If they do, it's huge premiums, even on the gold bullion and the silver bullion known as junk. They have huge premiums on it. That's premiums at spot. Ted bought this gold and silver below spot. He made a move when it was 8.15. So when it hit, you know, 8.90, he could sell it to you. Now it's 9.05. He bought it at 8.30. But, Ted, I was talking to you this morning. How long, you weren't sure this morning, you thought maybe one more day. How long can you hold it at the 830 level with it above 900?
Well, it's a matter of how long my supply will hold up, but I do know that I'll carry it, whether if I sell out completely or not, and I get a little short, it just means I'll take a loss. What I do is I just watching what's going on out there, you can see that, you know for sure that gold and silver is going to go up and our problems are going to escalate. And so every time there's a dip, I try to get in there and buy as much as I can. I did pick up a real good supply when gold was down there at 8.15, like you said. We sold out of that this weekend. As a matter of fact, I probably took a couple hits on there toward the end, but we just filled it because that was what I said. My word is my word. And now we are looking at the price range of around 8.30 that I picked up the next group of coins when I was buying into the marketplace. And now I'm selling those presently, like the Frank, for instance, right now is at 2.14. Now, if I buy those at today's market, I'd have to be charging for the same thing, 227. Don't get me wrong. All coins have premiums. There's nothing out there that you can buy that's right next to spot. But when I'm able to get in there and buy at a time when the spot price is lower and that increases in price, it makes it that much more competitive and that much better of a deal for the people that are looking for gold and silver, and they darn right should be right now.
Absolutely. And then the tiny little markup that you put in there, again, you buy it when it's lower, then you sell it at the lower price, and there's a tiny 4% markup that allows you to operate and run the network and everything you do. And Ted, I just appreciate everything you've done for the Genesis Network. But I mean, this is a win. People cannot beat this deal. Give the brokers a call. They'll be there till midnight with this deal, at least until midnight, right, Ted?
Yeah, we'll definitely hold it right through midnight tonight.
800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Give the brokers a call. Ted, I mean, I got to tell you, things are happening so quick. There's so much corruption, so much craziness happening. I can't even cover it all. I'm trying to make this Obama film. There's so many betrayals, so many lies, so many corrupt people, so many angles, and I've got a month basically to finish it and then get it mastered and then get it mass produced to be able to have it out by and shipping out by March 15th. And my head is spinning. And literally, my passion is burning so strong that I have to make myself at midnight, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, go home and sleep for 3 or 4 hours because I know how real this is and I know what a chance we have of beating him. You're right. As Ron Paul has said, he doesn't think this is going to succeed. But
no.
But the globalists are making their run at us. They are doing it. I mean, they've already stolen $8.5 trillion. What's coming next? Well, now they're getting dictatorial government power to seize any infrastructure they want, roads, highways. We're going into IMF, World Bank receivership right now. This is classic off-the-charts tyranny, and it is so important for you to protect yourselves, folks. You know, there's people freezing to death all over the United States in their houses with their power turned off because they're broke. There's people that died during the summer because their air conditioner's turned off. There's people starving. I rarely go downtown, but the last time I was downtown and drove by the homeless shelter, I probably saw two or three people sleeping out there. First time I saw somebody sleeping out there was probably a decade ago. There was probably 40, 50 people sleeping outside on one street corner, and then I drove around the other streets downtown Saturday night to go see KRS-One, and there were just hundreds of people, and we had our cameras, but we were late getting down there, so we couldn't stop. Tonight or the next night, I'm going to go down there at like 10 o'clock at night on 6th Street and just off of 6th Street on 7th and others and just show hundreds of people sleeping on the streets. And there's tent cities all over the U.S. All this is happening. Folks, before they steal your whole 401k, before they devalue it through hyperinflation, move into gold and silver today. 800-686-2237. The Franks, the Sovereigns, you can't beat that deal. Are you out of Buffaloes?
No, I just have a few of those left at that same price. It's been really nice to get a nice trickle supply coming in, and I haven't had people blowing my phones off the hook for them either because I couldn't handle the supply if it was. I had one guy that wanted to buy 4,000. I said, nah, we can't do that. But we do have a small little pieces coming in here and there. I'm putting my fingers out across the entire United States trying to buy them. And actually, they're at a good buy. They're at 1,036 right now. And
Now, again, you can get into the Franks and the Sovereigns a lot less expensive. There's a premium on that coin, but it's much higher everywhere else. I mean, you look for yourselves, folks. What do the Franks come in per ounce at?
Well, the franc is a fifth-ounce gold coin, so you can do the math at 214. The sovereign, being the quarter-ounce gold coin, is at 263. So it's just it's a little bit above $1,000 an ounce, but the main advantage there is you get small pieces of gold in your hands, and if I move on to the 10th-ounce eagle or something comparable to those, you can't even come close, and the other problem is you can't get supply. In addition to this, most of the places across the United States, as a matter of fact, I don't know of any other that's been able to fill orders for Franks and British Sovereigns.
Yeah, you're one of the only places, and it's less expensive than anywhere else. 800-686-2237. Ted, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me up again.
You bet, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I've got some news I'm going to cover, then we're going to come back and rampage through your calls, and then Gerald Celente is coming on. These are the type of articles I have stacking up every single day in front of me. Okay, every day I see 10, 15, 20 reports without looking about the thousands of toys with lead, mercury, arsenic, toxins in them, about the thousands of different foods, 90%+ of the baby formula with the melamine, and the government had always said it was deadly poison, kills a lot of people. They say, well, now it's good for you. Or the government coming out and saying mercury's good for you. Well, here's the Washington Post. Study finds high fructose corn syrup contains mercury. Almost half of tested samples of commercial high fructose corn syrup contain mercury, which was also found in nearly a third of 55 popular brand name food and beverage products. It was found in a third of the 55 popular brand name. I mean, folks, this is by design. This isn't an accident. This is eugenics. Found in nearly a third of 55 popular brand name food and beverage products where HFCS is the first or second highest labeled ingredient, according to two new U.S. studies. So they're running all these PR ads on TV and on billboards about a guy sitting there eating a popsicle, and he goes, it's fructose corn syrup. It's good. It's from corn. I like it. And she goes, oh, I heard it's not good, but ooh, it's delicious. I like it. That's why they're having to run PR ads everywhere going, it's the law to take vaccines. Don't get arrested. There's no law. That's how rogue criminal they are. Just like the recruiters everywhere say, you got to sign up to join the military to the 16-year-old or you're arrested. No law, just And you'll talk to these people's parents, and they'll go, is it really the law, Alex? I can't believe they'd tell me it wasn't the law. And if it wasn't, I got to take the shot. My son's got to join the Army. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? HFCS has replaced sugar, high fructose corn syrup, as the sweetener in many beverages and foods, such as breads, cereals, breakfast bars, lunch meats, yogurts, soups, condiments. On average, Americans consume about 12 teaspoons per day of HFCS, but teens and other high consumers can take up to 80% more HFCS. And what does mercury do? It causes attention deficit disorder. It causes people to be hyperactive, to not be able to learn. And most Americans, when they're tested, have high lead and mercury. But they've now just raised the tolerance level and say, well, this level's safe now. Mercury is toxic in all forms. Not according to CBS News. Pull it up, John. Mercury good for you. I have MSNBC saying that lead and mercury's good in toys. Listen to this. Almost half of tested samples of commercial high fructose corn syrup contain mercury. Almost half. Did you hear that? Now, I'll get an email today saying I'm a liar. This isn't the Washington Post, which was also found in nearly a third of 55 popular brand name food and beverage products. HFCS is the first or second labeled ingredient, according to two new U.S. studies. Mercury is toxic in all forms. Given how much high fructose corn syrup is consumed by children, it could be a significant additional source of mercury never before considered. We are calling for immediate changes by the industry and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to help stop this avoidable mercury contamination of the food supply, said the Institute for Agriculture Trade Policy Dr. David Wallinga, a co-author of both studies. I've done shows where I mentioned the news was saying that mercury was good for you. And I get emails saying I'm lying because it does sound like baloney. But here it is.
Mercury-containing vaccines may have on kids.
A life-saving device wins over-the-counter approval by the FDA.
And sick of your glasses and contact lenses? A new corrective eye surgery is approved today. Here's tonight's medical headlines with Medical Watch reporter Seema Mather.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm, kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
Folks, we've had top neurologist after top neurologist on to tell you that mercury, lead, MSG, aspartame viciously attack your brain cells. But mercury, unlike other heavy metals just create plaques and kill the brain cells that are brought into your brain via the blood supply. But they stop, and then the new ones come in and kill new areas. Mercury keeps burning through. And we've linked to major universities with pig brains showing you under an electron microscope what mercury does. It causes an electrochemical short. It explodes. Okay? So, I'm not even going to play the CNBC where they... Oh, okay, play it. Go ahead and play it.
About inflation, that's another interesting point, because a lot of people like to say scaremonger about China, right? A lot of politicians, and I know you talk about that issue all the time. I think people should be careful what they wish for on China. You know, if China were to revalue its currency, or China is to start making, say, toys that don't have lead in them or food that isn't poisonous, their costs of production are going to go up, and that means prices at Walmart here in the United States are going to go up too. So I would say China is our greatest friend right
all
now.
Right.
They're keeping prices low, and they're keeping...
That's called killing yourself to live. We just have to accept a lower quality of life. We have to accept, we can have whatever we want in this economy with the industry and the science and the technology. But instead, they want to suppress all of that because they want to control society and make you destitute. And to understand economic theorem and data, here's a small microcosm, very small microcosm. In the 50s and 60s, McDonald's learned to put up a trash can that said thank you on the lid. And then people had the psychological idea that they had to go throw their food away. Now, that didn't cut prices. All that did was phase out service in the economy, phase out jobs. Because now companies that made you clean up your own food, where you always basically eat at a dirty table, could undercut other people that actually had the service, and people forgot what service was. It started with in the 40s and 50s with service stations. By the time I was in high school, you couldn't hardly find a service station, and now they basically hardly exist. They would say self-serve and then full service. And then now people don't change their water. They don't put in their windshield wiper. A lot of them don't put the proper oil in their tires. And cars fall apart a lot quicker, not just because of bad manufacturing, but because they're not being maintained right. Every time you got fuel, you take 4 or 5 minutes for them to check things. Then they'd ask, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? That phased out a whole other entry-level area, but also destroyed service. Now they're telling us to accept poison in the toys. That's a quote. Poison's in the food. And then meanwhile, mercury and lead are in most products and most food now. They're in large portions. This just said right at half. And so their answer is, well, melamine and mercury in there. Mercury's in half or close to half, and melamine's in 90% plus. It's good for you. All right, we'll come right back. Your call's coming up. We'll get to talk to Richard Salente. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live here. Got 2 hours left. We just began simulcasting in this hour. We are live at PrisonPlanet.tv. And for the next 60 minutes, Gerald Salente, who's kind enough to join us once a month. He is recognized by CNN, Fox News, The Wall Street Journal, and many others as the premier trends forecaster. And he runs the Trends Forecasting Center. And he has made thousands of predictions that have come accurately true or come very close to being true. He has predicted that there is a very good chance that in the next few months we're going to see runs on many banks, more bank closures. That's already begun. He said that last month there. So I wanted to get him on to talk about new developments. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of the Treasury, Bob Chapman, other financial experts we have on, have been telling me 2 to 3 years till total collapse. They've now in the last 2 weeks on the show, revised it. They're saying that we could start going into full bore depression and being admitted even the next 6 months to a year, but deepening for the next 2 years. Gerald Salente, good to have you back on with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Alex.
This is a short segment, but getting into the economy right now, are you revising anything from what you said a month ago, or is it still going ahead full steam?
Well, we're in the collapse of 08, current events of 09. Current events form future trends. Look at the data yesterday, 75,000 jobs wiped out. This is just the beginning. The commercial real estate collapse is on the way. There's not going to be anyone to rent these vacant retail spaces and commercial spaces left behind by the failing giants in the retail sector or with the failing banks, brokerages, and bond companies. So what we're going to see with the real estate collapse in commercial is going to make the subprime problem look like peanuts. And we are forecasting around March, the reality is going to set in that the greatest depression is on the way.
What about mid-February? You said a lot of big bank failures, maybe even a bank holiday. Are we still on track for that?
Yep, we're still on. As a matter of fact, we sent out a trend alert regarding the Obama administration, and we're expecting something very draconian, very major to happen that is going to happen in the banking sector. They may call a bank holiday, confiscation of gold. We don't know what it will be, but we do believe it will be very big. And the bottom line will be that it's going to hurt us little people, as they like to call us, taxpayers. And it's also imperative to note that what they're calling nationalization is really of the banking system, what they keep putting out that that trial balloon. It's not nationalization at all. What it is, it's Wall Street just playing a different game. And now they're, of course, Wall Street's in control of Washington. You know, it's the D.C. heist. We had Henry Paulson, who just left, was the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, and now they brought in Timothy Geithner, as we all know, from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, to be Treasury Secretary. So what they're really doing is they're calling it nationalization, but it's very simple. They're taking the bad debt, making us pay it down, and then they'll just keep going on their merry way and rebuilding their businesses that were in trouble. So this is not nationalization, and people should understand that. They're creating giants that are too big to fall, as opposed to big banksters that are too big to fail.
Well, not just putting the bad debt on us, if you really look at this, and I agree with you, they're using the trillions, and they won't say where they've gone, to buy up industry, and then you hear, oh, the government's putting rules on Ford or Chevy if they bail them out, and the banks are internationally taking them over. So it's the banks in the Wall Street heist openly becoming government.
That's right.
So the government's not taking them over. They're taking over the government, just like the IMF and World Bank do in third world countries.
Exactly.
Let's flesh that out with Gerald Celente straight ahead, right here on the one, the only, GCN Radio Network and PrisonPlanet.tv.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
TrendsResearch.com is his very informative website. Be sure to go check out a subscription to his Trends Forecaster Bulletins, his intelligence reports at TrendsResearch.com. Okay, I got a lot of questions for you, Gerald Celente, and then I want to open the phones up for Randy, Dave, Paul, Anthony, and others that are holding. They can ask myself or yourself a question. I want to finish up with the hijacking by Wall Street and the Bank of England, the City of London, of things. They engineer the crisis. They set up Northcom to be used against the American people. They use terrorism as the pretext. Now they flip it and admit it's for the American people. Obama is continuing all the exact same policies with a little bit different rhetoric. Increasing troops in the Middle East, Central Asia, continuing the warrantless wiretapping of the American people. Administration, openly run by Timothy Geithner. Same crew. How long until the public figure out they've been bamboozled? Or will they, buying into the mass delusion, thinking that it was Bush that did all this when he was just a puppet like Obama, say, hey, if you don't go along with Obama, you're the cause of it. We're already getting emails saying that. We predicted that. That if we don't get into work brigades and we don't sacrifice and we don't go into this planned austerity and the carbon tax, that we're bad. So finishing up with the Wall Street hijacking, your analysis of Obama and how you see this playing out historically with all the different factors you've got.
Well, first of all, just to make it clear, we're political atheists. We don't believe in anybody's political religion. We don't drink the Kool-Aid. And I've been around long enough without going into my background, it's on the website, to know better. So, you know, I just don't. So when we talk about Obama, it's not like we like somebody else. This is the presidential reality show, episode 2, Obama moves into the White House. This is America loves entertainment, and they now have a celebrity president. He's the Tiger Woods of the political scene. People are going to buy into this for a long time. We sent out a trend alert recently just about this very topic, and that the people are so fearful and desperate that they'll believe the thinnest veneer has substance to it. And so they have this hope. And hope, by the way, is the most negative word in the metaphysical dictionary. It means nothing. You know, it means wishing that you scratch off that lotto number and win without doing anything. So the people are going to buy into the Obama rhetoric for a long time. And as you well know, and I think you articulated it, his early measures that he's taken were to support his core base, the closing of Guantanamo, the emission standards, the canard about the executive pay and his staff, the lobbyist things. You know, these are all the abortion issue. These are all little things that his core support really, you know, they say, look, he's doing something for us. And just as he did, as he promised that core supporters that he was going to end the war in Iraq the day he got in, bring troops home the day he got into office and change that to 16 months. So what he's doing is he's solidifying his core support, and as you so well articulated, he's just carrying on the policies of, and the big issues in the economy and geopolitical as the previous administrations. So, but the people are going to believe this for a long time. That's the bottom line. And they're going to have that core support that's going to stick with them because they'll conveniently blame the Bush administration. Of course, and they have plenty of blame to go around. Bush, Clinton, all of the criminal class that goes back. But most of the people are so hope, there's so fear, there's so much gripped in fear and desperate that they'll buy the thinnest lines.
Well, I agree with you, and I see 4 years, 6 years, 8 years down the road, though, they will then, all the things the internationalists have done, they will then blame it all on the very puppet they built up, and then they'll give us a new savior, and all the hatred of the old puppet will be converted to love for the new puppet, and then the phony left-right dog and pony show, and of course you worked at the high levels in politics, it will just continue to roll forward.
Yeah, well, here's what we're forecasting, Alex.
Unless the people break their paradigm. Yeah, go ahead.
We think that around March, February, March, as we said, you know, we're going to start seeing big failures. The fear is going to start running very real. You know, as a Bronx boy, my saying is, when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And you well know better than I do about these detention centers and the training of troops and the state police in anticipation of economic riots. We're going to see that. We believe that the myth will stay in place for several months, maybe even a year, 2 years tops. But then it'll start breaking apart for real, because he's going to continue his policies, should he, in regard to the Middle East and the economics, Obama, and he will then, by then, with the disillusionment running so deep, that will be the end of the honeymoon. From that point forward, we're pretty confident that we're going to see a real third-party movement in this country by 2012. And we think that this could be a real pivot point. It could go either way. And we're taking the position now in our forecasts that this could be a positive change to the type of country that many of us believe in, and that is with more, you know, and of course not to use it as a bait signal with saying it, you know, in the wrong context, but more states' rights. We don't need a bunch of federal fools to tell us how to think and act. And these secessionist movements are going to take hold, we believe, more and more, and that we're going to start moving into something that resembles what the United States used to look like, as this other force, as you well articulate, is trying to push us in another way.
So, as Ron Paul agrees with you, this is a key time because, as Lenin said, there are times in history, to paraphrase, when more happens in a month than happened in 10 years, we're in that time when society is unfrozen from the status quo, and it can be changed for the good or it can be changed for the worst. The establishment has seen this coming, is prepared, wants to try to bring in a total tyranny, but it's going to be so unpopular, no matter how fancy they build up a front man, no matter how much, you know, celebrity they put into it. At the end of the day, when somebody's hungry or losing their house, or doesn't have a job, or just got mugged, the bull is not going to work anymore.
That's right. You know, this is, again, the presidential reality show. And shows start losing their ratings after a while when they turn bad. And, again, that's all this is. This is, you know, it's celebrity. And it's going to lose its veneer. And, you know, by the way, one of the ways that I built my reputation was one of my first early books, Trend Tracking, that I actually wrote in 1988, I had predicted the rise of a third party. This is a time when only 13% of the Americans believe so. And I also mentioned Ross Perot as the probable candidate for some reason. I don't know why I brought his name up at that time. And I think I'm totally in agreement with Ron Paul that there's going to be that transition period when people say, we've had enough of both of these people. And it will be but will the candidate emerge? As much as I admire Ron Paul, he lacks that celebrity kind of thing that's so important in a society as thin as America.
He doesn't have the charisma. He doesn't have the charisma.
Exactly. But someone else can.
That's amazing. Going back, though, to pick your brain a bit more, Barack Obama is already betraying most of his stances. He's thrown a few bones, but they're hollow. Well, we'll look in a year at closing Guantanamo, but we're going to keep indefinite detention. That's because that policy is defeated. That move for us to accept all this was defeated. So now he has to at least partially repudiate it. But when you look at what he's doing, it is hollow. Meanwhile, the main international takeover by the banks openly announcing they're going to have an offshore world bank that sets world regulations and controls the nations when it's the very bankers that engineered all of this now posing as the saviors. I know they've got the power and they're going ahead by executive fiat. When we talk about a federal government, it's not even a federal government now. It's internationally controlled. It's been hijacked by foreign private interest. How do we telegraph that message to the public?
It's a very difficult message to telegraph, and the public won't understand it, the general public. It needs to happen on more basic levels, you know, the bread and butter issues. And I think there's going to become a point when they keep trying to squeeze more and more out of the little people, where it becomes a time when the revolt begins. It's not going to happen through an education of something like that because it's too arcane for most people to either understand or accept, because most people are only fed sound bites of information upon which they make decisions on. So that's very important in the communication aspect. It's too big an issue for them to swallow.
States, like another corporation, has had a violent corporate takeover by an outside group. I mean, people don't know that big corporations spy on each other and have private mercenaries and own their people in governments. They don't understand that's what the New World Order is. It's private group of corporations, robber barons, setting up their own world government and hijacking nations through payoffs. And I wish the public could figure that out. What's so complex, Mr. Salente?
It's beyond them. They don't want to believe it, number one. They would, you know, they think of these things as conspiracy theories. You know, they've been indoctrinated all their lives through the college industrial complex to all think alike. So they would never, you know, this is way beyond their grasp of understanding. I mean, how many people really know that the major issue in the United States politics throughout the entire 1800s was about the central bankers taking over the country?
Gerald Salente, ladies and gentlemen, the website is Trends Research. One word, trendsresearch.com. We'll put it up on screen at prisonplanet.tv during the break. We're going to come back, sir, and get more into solutions. And then your phone calls. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Gerald Salente, the top trends forecaster in the world, is our guest. Gerald, what else do you see on the horizon since we talked to you a month ago? I know a lot has unfolded. What do you see on the military front with Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq? We know Obama's announcing 30,000 more troops to go to Afghanistan. Those troops basically be replaced in Iraq with army forces. They're saying get ready for a lot higher casualties. Is this part of what Biden said was going to be so unpopular, or is that going to be some type of bank devaluation coming up?
Well, on the geopolitical front, what we're most concerned about is Israel and Iran. As we know now, as reported and confirmed by the New York Times, Israel had asked the Bush administration for bunker-busting bombs to attack the Iranian nuclear facilities. If such an act ever occurs, if either the United States or Israel attacks Iran, it will be the beginning of World War III. This is not Iraq, and any person of history knows that Iran fought Iraq between 1980 and 88 in a war funded by the United States on the Iraqi side, and they didn't give up one inch of territory to Iraq, and they lost over a million people in the process. These are the Persians. They're not going anywhere. And anybody that thinks they're going to wipe out 70 million people, they're out of their minds. This could be the beginning of World War. It will be the beginning of World War III. That's our major concern. And what happened during the Israeli war on Gaza, we saw that Obama didn't say one peep about it. Although he spoke plenty about the economy and other issues during the same time.
And now they're being very secretive in press conferences, and Hillary just signed a deal with Israel saying that they will back them basically going up against Iran last week.
That I didn't know. And so that's more information and more news too. That's very sobering, because if this happens, there's no winning. And for Israel to be bragging that they took a beating against Hezbollah in Lebanon in 2006, but they showed their bones by wiping out just about defenseless people in the Gaza. I mean, they're not going to fight it and win against Iran. It's not going to happen. So that's our major concern right there. And again, this isn't about who you like, who you don't like. These are just facts. I'd like to, you know, we were talking before the break about the takeover, the corporate takeover. I have a quote in my book, Trends 2000, from Abraham Lincoln. You may be familiar with this, but it's very apropos for the times. Quote, "The money power preys upon the nation in times of peace and conspires against it in times of adversity. It is more despotic than monarchy, more insolent than autocracy, more selfish than bureaucracy. I see in the near future a crisis approaching that unnerves me and causes me to tremble for the safety of my country. Corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until the wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed."
And that's exactly what we see happening today at a scale never before even dreamed.
Exactly. And that's why I was saying that this concept is too big for the people to really embrace and understand. Just as we heard from General Eisenhower, who is arguably the greatest general of the 20th century, the supreme commander of the Allied forces, a two-term Republican president, warning the nation as he's leaving office that the military-industrial complex is taking over the country. People didn't react to that. And would dare anyone to go to Eisenhower if he was still alive and tell that man that he was full of baloney.
And that was 1960.
Exactly. And things got progressively worse. And the military-industrial complex got even bigger. Again, look who Obama just nominated, just brought in as his deputy defense secretary, a chief lobbyist for one of the greatest of all of the military-industrial complex companies, Raytheon.
Man, Gerald Celente, you are absolutely on target. We always learn so much from you. Before we go to break and come back and take calls, tell folks how they can go subscribe to this valuable information at trendsresearch.com.
You could go to trendsresearch.com. And also, Alex, they should look at our forecasts from 2008 as well as the new forecasts, so they could see what we said and what has happened, and they could think for themselves to decide what will happen next.
He's on target. Like nobody else we know. He's Gerald Celente. We'll be right back with more from him and your calls straight ahead.
We don't need no education. We
control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. Go there, check it out today. Invaluable information because, as you've said many times, Mr. Salente, and I've had this seen this in my own life, studying the global elite, studying trends, studying what the big white papers from the think tanks are saying, but you do your own wide-spectrum analysis and integrate all that, you know what's going to happen in the future. You've got a really good idea of it. Just in the free market, in our own safety, in our lives, how important is it to be engaged in the world and be informed? You know, some people see you and I and others as weird. It's kind of like, ooh, he knows how to read, or he's informed, or you know, these are some eggheads on a mountain. We're just, I mean, you know, regular guys. At least I would think of myself as that. And I mean, you're a genius mind, but also, you know, there's a lot of smart folks out there. They've just never applied themselves. Just like somebody else could be an expert at football or baseball or an expert at architecture, we have studied the architecture of how human systems work and how we operate. How important is it to be informed, especially in today's climate, to even survive financially?
Well, I'm a close combat practitioner and a black belt trainer, and we don't wait to get hit. And what we're saying to people is take evasive actions now. It costs nothing to be prepared. And when 9/11 happened, I was totally prepared for it. I had written about it. USA Today, December 14th, 2000, the headline read, 2001 won't be our year, Trendsear says. And I had predicted that Americans wouldn't be safe at home or abroad, and a wave of anti-Americanism was sweeping the globe, but on and on. But anyway, when 9/11 happened, for whatever reasons, when it happened, I was prepared. I had my gold, I had my gun. If they hit Indian Point, the power plant just south of me, it would have been chaos beyond anybody's belief. No one could do a movie, a science fiction, on what would have happened. It would have been so horrendous. So what we're telling people is that an economic 9/11 has already happened. Take evasive actions. Plan for the future. If you're not crazy by not listening, you're crazy to listen. Listen to your own gut. As my dear father had taught me, may his soul rest in peace, think for yourself. Don't be a parrot. And this is a time for people to really, really, he used to say, Papagallo, he'd say in Italian, think for yourself. Stop repeating what everybody else is saying. And this is what people need to do now. Because by having your money in your hands rather than having it in somebody else's hands, by having enough food in case of a catastrophe, by having a weapon to protect yourself, is not going over the edge. It's really stupid not to do any of those things, in my belief.
Exactly. I mean, how, if you're a father or a mother, or just care about yourself, how could you not want to know how the world works? But Americans always were some of the most informed people, you know, the greatest inventions, the hardest working, the whole world. Foreigners from France, Alexander de Tocqueville and others came here and marveled. Now they come here and marvel at how lethargic, how people don't want to be involved, how people don't want to be informed, how they think it's a feather in their cap to brag how stupid they are. And it's a fake selfishness. I don't care. You know, as if that's a cloak of invincibility when it's the opposite. When you're blind, stumbling around on the freeway, you're going to die. It's not cute or funny to be ignorant.
Yeah, exactly. And our education system has dumbed us down and forced us to learn all the same things in the same way. We become, as Lincoln and so feared, a corporate society. I mean, could you imagine that we could only talk about Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts? That we could only talk about Lowe's and Home Depot? That we could only talk about Burger King and McDonald's? Look what's happened to the country. There's no individuality. But that's the important thing, Alex. What's going to survive in this coming greatest depression are the people that express their individuality, that are unique, are innovative, and really understand what quality is about. Those are going to be the survivors and thrivers in the coming tough times, as the rest of the people who all think alike and have drunk the Kool-Aid go down with the ship.
And in closing, before we go to calls, how hard is this ship going under? I mean,
going under the worst depression that anybody. It's worse than the Great Depression. And here are the simple reasons why. We were an ascending nation in those days. I mentioned about my father. I have a photograph in of my parents' wedding in 1934. These are Italian immigrants that worked in fish stores. My father worked in a radio factory, vegetable stores. You should see the way these people are dressed and the way they looked. And all the immigrants look like that. You look at a picture in the New York Times recently. They have a picture of Chrysler workers during 1933 in the bank closings trying to cash their check. You should see the way these people are dressed and what they look like. They don't look like slobs. Everybody, I did a talk for the International Diamond Conference at the Waldorf Astoria recently, and I walked into this place, and my first time at the Waldorf was 1977, and I stayed in the suite that the Shava ran was just in the night before. And in order to get into this place, you had to be dressed and looking fine. And I see people walking through this thing with flip-flops on. They look like a bunch of slobs this past September. And this is what the nation has become. We were an ascending society back then. We didn't have $14 trillion worth of debt, consumer debt. They didn't have credit cards. They didn't have home, they didn't have second mortgages that they now call home equity loans. Most people didn't own homes. Back then, we had a trade surplus. We weren't $700 billion in the hole.
And there was another issue. There was another issue. A lot of people, there was still corruption. There were still problems. But overall, we were a less corrupt society, a lot of handshake deals. But there was a reason for that. People weren't violent. People weren't criminal. But if you cheated somebody or screwed them, you'd end up getting your head beat in or you'd end up getting shot.
Exactly.
I know those stories about my family and business and people here in Texas. The reason people were polite, the reason people didn't cheat or screw each other, because most people would kill you.
Exactly.
But now it's just corruption's accepted and everything's falling apart where you can't even do basic business now. Can you speak to that?
It's so true, you know, because why should people do a fair deal when they see that the higher ups are raping the people? So they figure they want their piece of it. So they're wannabes. People have become wannabe crooks. Look, when they look back in history and they look at this culture, I talked about during the Great Depression what people looked like. And by the way, the other issue was back then we had a manufacturing base that built us out of the Great Depression.
Well, not just looked like, their eyes were so much more alive. You look at people's eyes now, it's like they're dead. Did somebody suck their soul?
Well, they did. Look at the junk food that they eat, the junk garbage that they watch. As I said, when you look back at society, just think of this. What's the dominant pop culture music? It was fashioned after the lowest of lowest common denominators, criminals. The pants baggy because they wouldn't give them belts. They shoes flopping around because they wouldn't give them shoelaces. This is who we emulate, a gangster quality. Of course, that's what the nation's become. And you know, when you read Plato, you read The Nation, the people of Sparta, of course, they were more aggressive because that's the kind of music they played. That's the kind of atmosphere that they created. And we've created a nation of gangsters, and the gangsters are at the bottom, and the gangsters are at Wall Street.
We're going to go to calls in a moment, but I did want to bring this up. Nancy Pelosi says to get America going, they need hundreds of millions of dollars, close to a billion, to have people have abortions or Planned Parenthood. Meanwhile, we have tens of millions of baby boomers are going to be retiring every year starting this year. We're a dying culture. Japan is telling their employees we'll pay you to have children. Russia's saying the government will pay you to have children. The West is dying. Japan's dying. Meanwhile, in the United States, they say don't have children. Even Fox News says that. That's the answer to the economy when the new blood is the future.
Well, the new blood is the future, but the new blood that we're producing is pretty dismal blood. I mean, you look at this college industrial complex and what they've produced. You know, if they were doing such a great job, we wouldn't be in these problems. You know how many kids that I always meet and their parents tell me how special they are? And then when they're not little kids anymore and they reach their teens, they become amazing. I mean, you know, this is just a lot of, you know, more of the same. We need quality. We don't need more. You know, we don't need quantity. And we're not producing quality in this country. As I said, it's the college industrial complex. And by the way, you're going to see a college crash. as big as the real estate crash, as big as the retail crash, as big as the banking crash and the brokerage crash. They've all overexpanded, and they're producing junk. And if they're not, I ask everyone, show me the greatness that the colleges have produced in the arts, in philosophy, in the sciences. Where is the greatness? Where's the great intellects?
All they produce is skin-deep sports worship and people acting cool and acting tough.
Exactly.
And again, we're not trying to be negative, folks.
It's a fact. This isn't about negative or positive. Show me. Show me. That's all I ask people to do.
What was that term in Italian about the parrot?
My father used to say to me, I'd be babbling on because I always like to talk about, what was going on in the world. And I was a little kid, probably my teens, and he'd look over at me and he'd give me a steely look and he'd say, Papagallo, parrot. He'd say, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. I heard a couple of those, Alex, and I respected my father. I knew exactly what he meant. I never speak about things that I don't have knowledge about, and I don't care what other people think. It's not, people will say to me, you're very opinionated. Wait, what, because I don't believe in what you're saying? It makes me opinionated? You're entitled to believe what you want to believe. I'm entitled to believe what I believe in. Don't call me opinionated.
Well, that's the incredible
thing.
That's the
way I look at it.
I'll have somebody walk over to me and go, how dare you bash the banker bailout? We need it. It's going to fix things. And I say, okay, who's the head of the World Bank? Okay, how's the Federal Reserve operate? And they don't even know what it is, but they have an opinion. They can't find Iraq on a map. But they've got an opinion about the war. For me, when I spend my time researching, and I don't claim to have all the answers, but at least I'm studiously trying to be informed, and then these arrogant nobodies come up and tell us we don't know what we're talking about because they don't want to hear an educated opinion.
Well, the motto of the Trends Research Institute, and we say it all the time, we put the information out there, but think for yourself. This is what we see. This is how we see it happening. You decide. Think for yourself.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take a few calls. These will be all over the map, but that's fine. Tony in British Columbia, you're on the air with Gerald Celente. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Gerald.
Hey, Tony.
I wanted to talk about, this ties in with Biden's warning there, and it has to do with the crash on the Hudson, the airline crash?
Yes.
Okay, well, some interesting information has come out recently. It appears that is not what it has appeared to be. Apparently, there was for starters, there was 26 bankers on that plane, 23 from the Bank of America and 3 from the Wells Fargo.
Yeah, and now they're saying, even O'Reilly's saying it was a cover-up and could it be sabotage? I mean, who knows? But if you look statistically at politicians and executives who even fly the same amount per capita as, say, a traveling salesman, they die many times more often in plane crashes. So we know they like to assassinate people that way. Had you heard anything about this, Gerald?
No, I really haven't.
Yeah, I've only heard a little, so I can't speak to it.
Well, one other thing, besides the fact that these engines are built to survive bird strikes, apparently the Russian intelligence working out of the Russian embassy in New York there reported sounds of the Iglass S handheld ground-to-air missiles being shot at that particular day as well. The way I see this tying in is I always thought that the Gaza incursion was a bit timely, and I thought it was a run-up to an invasion in Iraq. And if this had been a airline crash, had been a false flag incident crashing in Manhattan, it would have set the stage very nicely for a false flag in the Mideast, and then we're on with Iran.
All right, I hear you. I appreciate your call. I can get a question out of that for Gerald Celente. Do you think we'll see more provocations, more staged events overseas or domestically as a pretext to go into Iran or other nations?
I think that the odds of going into Iran, unfortunately, keep increasing. And of course, remember the Maine, the Gulf of Tonkin, Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. Read my lips, no new taxes. They put nothing past them. They'll do anything.
Absolutely. Let's go to another caller. Dave in California, you're on the air with Gerald Celente.
Hi, guys. Great show. I got two questions for both of you, and they're fast. One, where do you see the new head of global power developing? And two, if there, and I think we all agree, there's going to be some sort of global revolt, where do you see it starting? And would it be better if it started sooner rather than later in general?
Already, well, let me just throw in a caveat here before Gerald gets into it. We already saw the Icelandic government collapse. We're already seeing other governments collapse, but the bankers just keep putting in, like shark teeth, another puppet politician. But over time, people figure out that it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss. So, Gerald, how do you see that unfolding?
Well, you're right on with the Icelandic revolt, and also in Greece. That wasn't about shooting a 15-year-old kid. It was about the corruption and the failing of a society. We're also seeing it in Latvia and Lithuania, and it's going to go global, and it's going to happen here as well. And where do we see the new head of the global power base? He's right in the White House now. The Presidential Reality Show, Episode 2, Obama moves into the White House. This is the concentration of power, and also we're going to also see, in terms of geopolitical, we're also going to see a reigniting of the Cold War, we believe, as well.
Absolutely amazing. Where do you see the new major power base specifically being? A Europe centered around Russia and the monopolar system moving from Britain and England more towards Europe or to China?
Well, you know, actually, you know, there are a lot of interesting things on that level as well. You know, there could be a come a time in the not-too-distant future, you know, within our lifetimes, you know, God willing, that in terms of God willing that I'm still around, and as well as you and everyone listening, that we may see an end of the euro happening in a couple of nations. And that's not unrealistic, because we're going to start seeing more nationalistic movements. Well, there's going to be a backlash against this centralized government's one thought rules all. Things don't happen that easily. They like to think they have the power to control everything, but often that they don't. And we could get a charismatic person in different countries like Italy, Spain, Portugal, even France, that say, we've had enough of the euro. We want to do this on our own. We have to. We can't go by your rules.
Well, we see Europe trying to prop up what they're doing by putting a nationalist in from the Czech Republic, trying to buy him off to go along with it.
He's small potatoes.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you see them trying to reach out to the conservatives right now. Stay there. Gerald Celente, final segment with our amazing guest. Be sure and check out his website, trendsresearch.com, and my website's infowars.com. Stay with us. More calls straight ahead. Final segment with Gerald Celente, then Wayne Madsen joins us to talk about the latest National Security Agency spying developments against the American people. We'll take a few final calls for Gerald Celente. And let's do that right now. Paul in California, you are on the air.
Is it me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Gerald. Thank you very much for your gentleman's fine work. If someone wants to take a plunge into silver and gold, I would assume that the bank is not the best place to store precious metals. What do you suggest? Where do you keep things like that?
You know, I agree with you. A bank isn't the best place to store it. Without saying it out loud, use your ingenuity. You know, it's not like if you don't tell anybody where it is, they're not going to find it. And just so, I'm a believer in gold, and I keep purchasing it. I have since 1978. And I think that's going to be gold. And I don't know enough about silver. But I believe the people that talk well about it. But just put it someplace. I mean, you know, if you have it in a coffee can or a paint can in your basement on top and bottom of another paint can, you know, $100,000 worth of gold isn't a lot of gold when it comes in coins. So you could hide it on your own.
You were also talking about investing in other markets such as alcohol and things during bad times, that there is a way to actually make money during challenging times. Did you want to expand on that at all?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I suggested investing in alcohol. What we're saying is that those are going to be growth areas. The whole entertainment business is really going to flourish as well. You go back to the Great Depression, the hottest, happiest music this nation ever knew was in swing time. And by the way, one of the positive elements about the Obama election is that he is bringing a kind of decorum and class back, and people may start dressing up again, particularly a lot of the, you know, the gangster people that do follow him. And so there's positives on that note as well. So entertainment, and also, you know, if in the restaurant business, there's opportunities. You know, the greatest steak sandwich at an affordable price, that's the key. Affordable sophistication, quality product at moderate price points. The best donut, you know, the best of anything, the best of the best is going to make money in this kind of economy.
An economy implosion will force quality back instead of Chinese slave goods.
Exactly.
And then a lot
and junk food.
And a lot of locally made things will come back, too.
Local is where it's at. And by the way, that's the only way we're going to come back as a nation. Wall Street killed Main Street. They're the ones that put the deals together for these big conglomerates to build these horrendous-looking malls that sap the life out of Main Street, which was the lifeblood of this country. Now that they're going under, they're leaving gaps behind that can be again filled by Main Street. So there's opportunities. Fortunes are going to be made during these times.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Gerald Celente. I know you have a very busy schedule. We have a one-minute break here. You want to do five more minutes on the other side and take two or three more calls?
Oh, sure. I'd love to.
Okay, great. And for listeners out there, be sure and visit PrisonPlanet.tv. We're streaming live right now at PrisonPlanet.tv for the folks that are on that site. And I'm telling you, invaluable information from TrendsResearch.com. That's Trends with an S, research.com, one word. Be sure and check it out, as well as PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. And my new film trailer, The Obama Deception. And we're really doing Obama a favor. We're showing he's a puppet. He's a front man. He doesn't run anything. We're depoliticizing it out of the left-right paradigm, because the elite want us to be distracted and diverted with the left-right paradigm to where we're caught up in the managers, the little front men, instead of the real shareholders in this global architecture. We have to shatter that to then explain, hey, even if you love Obama, he isn't running the show. He's just there to pacify you. And I want to get Gerald Celente's final comment on that. When we come back after this break in 70 seconds, we'll go to one or two more phone calls from Anthony Rocco, Bruce, and a few others. And then we've got Wayne Madsen on the NSA, formerly worked for him. Stay with us. Segment with Gerald Celente, the master trends forecaster, predictor of the future. I know you spoke to this previously, but specifically, it's so important. I always make that point. You made it out of the gates. Depoliticizing this. We're just talking facts. We're not in a... People are emailing me going, you're for Palin, you're for McCain. No, we weren't. We're saying either one of these groups, they were owned by the same people. How important is it to explain that to the American people so they get out of this mindless Obama worship so they can really look at real issues? Gerald Celente.
Well, it's very important, but even when you hit them with the facts, they make excuses. For example, you know, by their deeds you shall know them. So Obama, he promised to bring change to Washington, and he's brought in all the same old faces from the Clinton administration and from the Bush administration. And I love it when he brings in the new diplomats, they call them veterans. How about old hacks? Could they say that? So there's really no change here, but the people, when you give them the details, again, they'll say, well, he's bringing in experienced people. But he said he was. But there's 300 million people in this country. Could we have a little wider job search than the same crew that's been in before? So people are—they're too much in delusion because of fear. People are very fearful of this economic disaster, and they want to hold on and to believe anything.
That's right. They were stampeded from the horror of Bush and jumped right into the arms of the new puppet.
Exactly. And, you know, Bush is going to go down in history as the most hated. Bush will be the most hated living person in America come spring because of the disaster of this economy and how easy it is to blame it all on Bush.
I was listening to the BBC last night driving home on my XM radio, And then it was like a 30-minute program about Bush leaving office. And it said that for the first time, his SMU Presidential Library Office, the one raising the money, is secret. And that everybody hates him so much, even in Dallas, that went for Obama, that they're being secretive about where their office even is. So, I mean, this is incredible.
It is incredible. Look, when do you ever remember a president being booed off stage as he's leaving office? I mean, that's history-making. That's never happened in this country.
But they don't understand a psyop has been run on them where they blamed it all on Bush, who deserved to be blamed, but he was just a front man.
Oh, exactly.
But then meanwhile, the elite have got to be laughing. But as Biden said, they've got 100 to 200 days until the mass delusion and euphoria wears off. But you're saying that the euphoria could go for 360 days?
Oh, yeah. It could spread. It could spread. The Obama love is really deep. Because what's going to happen, Alex, is the way we look at it, you're going to start seeing different kinds of elements of Obama seep into pop culture. And that's what keeps building the base. So you look beyond the politics, and again, this is the presidential reality show. It was, I mean, when Oprah Winfrey put her support behind Obama, it changed overnight. The whole thing changed. It was perfect stagecraft. And that's what we're looking at. And this country loves entertainment.
Even if it kills them.
And it doesn't even have to be great entertainment.
Well, we didn't have time to get to calls, but we're going to let you go. I want to really thank you for spending time with us in the last 45 seconds. Any other predictions?
Well, again, watch what's going on in the Middle East. Look for a bank holiday or some kind. Some draconian action is going to be taken, we believe, very swiftly, as Obama now has all this power in his hands right now. So those are the things that we're really looking at right now at this moment.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Be sure and check out the site, trendsresearch.com. Trendsresearch.com. Our sites are prisonplanet.tv, truthnews.us, infowars.com, prisonplanet.com. And Mr. Salente, we will be talking to you very, very soon. Again, I appreciate all your time. God bless and Godspeed.
Well, thank you for having me, Alex.
You bet. Let me just say bye to you during the break. All right, Wayne Madsen coming up.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe. Our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, but I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now.
I'm as mad as hell.
Go to your window, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, but I'm not going to take this anymore.
All right, for the next 25 minutes, we are joined by Wayne Madsen, WayneMadsenReport.com. And I want to get him on because now it's come out, what we already knew, what he already told us, what we knew from James Bamford and others, but now they admit it. They're not just listening to troops overseas in the U.S. here. They're listening to politicians, media people. They're laughing at their phone sex. It's all over MSNBC, CNN. But it's continuing under Obama. He's just doing it with a little bit kindler, gentler. So a lot of things have changed the last 2 years from Bush saying, we don't spy on anybody. We only have warrants, to, oh, we only listen to Al-Qaeda calling America, to, we only listen to the troops, to, we only listen to Congress, to, we only listen to all of you. And where all this is going and how bad it really is, and any other little political tidbits. Because a lot of times you're watching intelligence hearings in Congress, you're watching serious things happen on the Hill. You look in the background of the press gallery, you'll see Wayne Madsen. So he's always got new important information for us. Formerly worked with the NSA and consulted to other major security and surveillance agencies. Wayne, good to have you on with us.
Hi, Alex. Good to be with you.
What's going on with the NSA these days and the other agencies?
Well, we've learned quite a bit. First of all, we know what this classified program was that Alberto Gonzalez was sanctioned for, because he took some folders home with this classified term on the cover. He wasn't supposed to do that. It's Stellar Wind. Stellar Wind is the name of the program. This is the program that John Ashcroft lifted his head from his hospital pillow and told and Andrew Card and Gonzalez that Comey, who was the acting attorney general, would not sign off on it, and he had the final say. That was Stellar Wind. We only know that because this fellow named Tom Tam, who was a Justice Department prosecutor, was the person who revealed it, the existence, and he comes from a long line of FBI agents. This prosecutor, he of course had his house was invaded by federal agents. They questioned his children, seized his computers, his kids' computers, and put them through the ringer, just like they did to Russ Tice, the former NSA analyst who has recently come on television again and spoken about further details of NSA's program, which he said was listening to everybody, including journalists, something I had reported several years ago with the existence of a database called First Fruits. So we've got a Stellar Wind, we've got First Fruits, we've got all this enhanced surveillance, which Tice says also not only includes the telephone and email intercepts and fax intercepts, but also NSA compiling records of credit card transactions.
Is Obama going to keep Hayden at the CIA?
No. It's going to Leon Panetta. Many people I've spoken to think Panetta is a good choice, even though he's not formally CIA.
I mean, I knew Panetta really was coming in, but I mean, what's going to happen with Hayden?
Oh, Hayden has retired as an Air Force general. Gates asked him to do that last year. Hayden will probably go off and work for one of these military intelligence contractors, violating all the strictures against revolving doors, which under the Bush administration, all that went by the wayside. And even now we're seeing waivers being granted to lobbyists by Obama, including the deputy defense secretary. And as I pointed out just the other day, Janet Napolitano's Deputy Homeland Security Secretary is this woman named Jane Hull Lute, L-U-T-E. The name was very familiar to me. I went back and just checked, did a sanity check, and sure enough, it's what I thought. She is the wife of Bush's war czar, the guy that Bush put in charge of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a retired General Lute. So here we have...
Now, finish in a minute. This is what I want to hear from you specifically, because you worked with the NSA and you know all these people. We know that Bush was bad, and you were one of his biggest critics, and you had hoped that, I know, that Obama would be better, but you're an honest guy, so now you're criticizing it. He's going over and above to pack it full of the worst Clintonistas and the worst Bushies. So can you specifically walk through, I mean, not just the new deputy of defense being the Raytheon minion, but Mitchell being on the Saudi and other payroll? I mean, this guy, why is Obama going back on one of his most basic things? Does he just think Obama mania will basically gloss over all that? And specifically, again, in your own words, go back over all these lobbyists and this new individual you were just talking about being the wife of the Bush war czar?
Well, what I see happening here is Obama is torn between two sides of the Democratic Party, and what Howard Dean used to call the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party. This was the FDR, the John Kennedy, even the LBJ type Democrats, not pro corporate, always pro union, always pro worker, always pro the little guy, always you know trying to get the guy another the worker another 10 cents. An hour. He's torn between those Democrats and these corporate Democrats, this Democratic Leadership Council, these free trade, international trade, all this business, and they've won out. They've won out because Howard Dean got chucked out as the DNC chairman. He's on the outside looking in. He's gone. Pelosi now, the Speaker, she's on the outs because her and Rahm Emanuel do not get along. That's what we're seeing. We're seeing this DLC, Democratic Leadership Council, pro-corporation wing of the Democratic Party taking over, and they're best represented, of course, by all those Clinton people, because Clinton was a member of the Democratic Leadership Council. So what we're seeing is this schism where the pro-corporate Democrats have basically won out over the traditional Democrats. And everybody knows traditional Democrats. I don't think they understand what the hidden agenda or not so hidden agenda of these corporate Democrats are. It's really not much different than the Republicans under George Bush.
Okay, I interrupted you. Go back over this new lady's name that worked for the war czar, and then more on the lobbyist.
Yes, Jane Holt. She was a lobbyyist when she was the she's a retired military officer. Her husband is this General Loot. She worked for the Association of the U.S. Army, where she was basically lobbying the Army for all these defense contractors. So she's very similar to this guy, William Lynn, over at the Pentagon, who came out of Raytheon. So I guess the deal is Obama says we won't have all these lobbyists, but now he's issuing waivers. Sort of like D.C. issues parking tickets.
Let's explain. He's not just hiring lobbyists and people that gave large campaign contributions to fill up his administration. He's going further to levels of having to sign waivers because of national security rules. So he's going above and beyond breaking his promise. Can you explain that to people?
Yeah, well what he's doing is he's issuing these waivers, and these individuals, although he has these rules against hiring lobbyists, these individuals are so important for national security reasons, he has to grant them a waiver. And what he's getting from the Republicans, if it's for national security, well, that's a different matter. So he got John McCain to go along with this, and he got Lindsey Graham to go along with this, and this is his way of basically preventing any criticism from the Republicans. Although, he's getting some from the Democratic Party, but it's that wing of the Democratic Party that has now been marginalized by the Rahm Emanuels and the Hillary Clintons and these other people. And it's starting to appear that they didn't want Carolyn Kennedy in the Senate because she is definitely not in that corporate wing of the Democratic Party. She's like her father. She's a traditional Democrat.
So, I mean, just with a little more than a week in office, would you say it's fair to say that Obama is signaling that he's going with the high-powered globalist arm, the Democratic Party, and the neocons?
It seems that way to me. The honeymoon, they always talk about these honeymoons. This honeymoon was over before they checked into the motel room. This was never a honeymoon because Pelosi doesn't like Emanuel. Emanuel, I don't know if you know about this, but the other day this was reported in the New York Times. There was a cabinet meeting, and Emanuel was sitting there at the cabinet meeting cracking his knuckles. And Obama looked to him and said, "Rahm, I wish you would stop that. I find that annoying." Emanuel gets up and cracks his knuckles right in Obama's ear. Obama doesn't say anything. He should have cleared the cabinet room out and said, "Look, everybody leave. I need to have a discussion with him." And right then and there he said, "That's disrespectful to the office of the president."
Oh, my God. No, I hadn't heard about this. Wayne, stay there. I mean, Emanuel's the guy that takes steak knives and goes, "Die, die, die," while he's stabbing things. Stay with us.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same?
Will it be easier on you?
Will it make it easier on you now?
But you got George Bush to blame.
You got someone to blame. You said one love.
The problem is these men are puppets. The military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about is in full control, and it's bought and paid for by offshore banks.
One love, we get
Wayne Matz will be with us till 40 after them and take calls into a news blitz.
You, baby, if you don't care for it.
Wayne Matz, and please break down this IDF soldier, this foreign asset, Rahm Emanuel, the architect of Obama, the architect of Blagojevich, who, when Clinton won re-election, well, I mean, start at the beginning and then and tell us this new development with him dominating Obama, because I did see a story in the Israeli papers with his father saying, basically, my son runs the White House now. He won't be some dirty Arab. I don't mean that. He was saying that, sweeping up the White House. So a lot of dominance and arrogance and chutzpah going on.
Yeah, he's a very arrogant guy. He served in the Israeli Defense Force during Desert Storm when, you know, there were hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia and in Kuwait and southern Iraq. He thought it would be better to serve in Israel. His Democratic opponent, or at least supporters of his Democratic opponent in his 2002 congressional race, which was to replace Blagojevich, who had served in that House seat. And I think Blagojevich has a lot of dirt on Emanuel. They're talking about Patrick Fitzgerald having dirt on Blagojevich. I've said Fitzgerald's a dirty prosecutor. He's very political. He won't look at Emanuel, but he's more than happy. Fitzgerald is looking at Blagojevich. And I think that gets back to this race in 2002 Democratic primary where his opponent, Emanuel's opponent, was a woman named Nancy Kozak, a Polish-American. The head of the Polish-American Congress called Emanuel first a carpetbagger because he had served under Clinton in Washington, came back to that district, and he said, also, you know, he's a dual citizen. He's a citizen of Israel as well. And, of course, you know, Emanuel and all his minions cried foul, said, oh, that's anti-Semitic, that's this, that's that, you can't say that. But nevertheless, that's what supporters of his opponent said. So this 5th Congressional District in Chicago is you know, they know the story, and I think they know the story on Blagojevich, and they know the real story on Blagojevich, not what Fitzgerald and the media is saying, and also the real story on Emanuel. And I think if we knew what was really going on in that district, we would be a lot more sympathetic to Blagojevich and a lot less sympathetic, or, you know, a lot less supportive anyway, of Emanuel. Anyway, Emanuel, just this other day, I mean, this thing with him cracking his knuckles, and, you know, and he's showing not only disrespect to Obama, but to the office of the presidency. And the New York Times said, you know, reported, well, Emanuel likes to joke around a lot. Well, no, that's not his history. This guy Emanuel's a bit of a Karl Rove type person. He's a sociopath. He uses foul language. He claims he's a pious Orthodox Jew, but he uses foul language. He also at another cabinet meeting, there was some congressional people there, and he sat there and thumbed his nose at them. And there was a picture of this, of course. This guy is just more poison in the White House. I call him Obama's Karl Rove. And the last thing this country needed was another Karl Rove. Whether he's a Democrat or not is immaterial.
Well,
we just don't need people like that.
Well, Wayne, start over. You're interrupted by the break. Specifically, go through the story that the New York Times reported on. I wasn't aware of it. Explain what happened with Obama. That's very disrespectful. And
yes, he was right. It was a cabinet meeting. Emanuel was at the cabinet meeting. There, I mean, there's the new cabinet officials are there, other White House officials, and Emanuel starts cracking his knuckles. And Obama said, "Rahm, I find that annoying. Would you please stop?" Instead of stopping, he stands up and takes his hand over to next to Obama's ear and cracks his knuckles in his ear and laughs. I mean, right then and there, I would have fired the guy.
Wayne, isn't that the equivalent of a bigger dog urinating on a smaller dog to dominate it? I mean, isn't that a sign of dominance?
That is, and that's the way it's being viewed as here. That, you know, who's the president? You know, who's the real guy in charge? Is it Emmanuel? Is it Obama? Now, you know, Emmanuel, he knows. I mean, this guy. First of all, his ego knows no bounds. He actually, the reason he doesn't like, he doesn't get along with Pelosi is he wanted the speakership, and he's made no secret of the fact Emmanuel has. That he wants to eventually become president of the United States. But a lot of people think that he is the de facto president of the United
States. Stay there, Wayne. I want to recap that when we come back and get into any other big developments with your ear on the ground. He is a national security reporter, formerly worked for the NSA. He's Wayne Madsen, WayneMadsenReport.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Way up.
Going to go back to Wayne Madsen here in a moment, jam in some final news and final calls after he leaves us here in about 10 minutes. Before I go back to our guests, I want to tell you about a great sponsor we've got, Survivalist Seeds. The website's www.survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Knowing that something's coming is not the solution. Preparing for what's coming is the answer. It's 7 years of healthy food for pennies a pound, 100% heirloom seeds, grown your own food, and eliminate your dependence on society. Get 15,000 heirloom vegetable seeds for a 7-year family supply for just $129 and receive a free how-to DVD instructional video. Get seeds 5 times cheaper than the GM trash sold at Walmart. Same day priority shipping by USPS. Here is their number, 620-637-2978. 620-637-2978. Again, without a long-term food solution, you will starve if society totally breaks down or become a slave. The globalist scientists are genetically engineering and modifying seeds to make us sick. Sick people are easy to control. Again, survivalistseeds.com or 620-637. That's 620-637-2978. And don't forget our guest website, WayneMadsenReport.com. We have that up on screen for folks. We'll put that up on screen for the PrisonPlanet.tv viewers as well. An excellent website and a great place to find out more about what's happening in D.C. He's got a lot of courage to be there and to be reporting on the things that he does cover. WayneMadsenReport.com. Okay, Wayne, start over because, again, the break was cutting you off there. You're seeing a lot of people are saying that they're not even sure Obama's really the president, that it's Rahm Emanuel, and he said he wants to be president. Continue with that.
Well, I mean, even some of his closest friends are saying he's the second most powerful person in the country right now. You know, whatever happened to Joe Biden? He's the vice president. But I think the other reason he did this little number with the crack in his knuckles is, you know, the House and Senate leadership was also at that meeting. I think it was a message to them, basically saying, look, you tangle with me, you're tangling with Obama, and I'm the guy who's calling the shots around here. So I don't think anything this guy, I think this guy is very premeditated in what he does, and I think he is going to get Obama in a lot of trouble. People think that Joe Biden will, because Joe Biden doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut, as we know with that incident with the swearing in of the White House staff, where he was cracking a joke about Chief Justice Roberts, and Obama looked at him like he could taken him in the Oval Office and given him a fist beating. But anyway, it's very clear that with the this incident with the cracking of the knuckles and the thumbing his nose at some people from Congress, that Rahm Emanuel is really the major domo of this administration, and he's alienated Howard Dean. Howard Dean's out. He's alienated Nancy Pelosi, and I think he will continue to alienate other people in the Democratic Party. So,
by the way, Wayne, you're not just saying this. I saw the couple headlines that said the second most powerful man in America, and it was the New York Times. I didn't read the whole article. Is that the same one where he's cracking the knuckles?
Yes. There was a reference to it in there, but other references in other newspapers to Emmanuel's power. He's just known as this enforcer. And even John Podesta, who was the head of the transition team, interestingly enough, he was Clinton's chief of staff. He had the same job that Emmanuel has under Obama. Podesta is nowhere to be found in this administration. I know John Podesta, and he has a, you know, the way his political ways and his mannerisms are 180 out from this guy Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a nasty guy, and Obama talked about bringing change to Washington. Well, this guy Emmanuel, who's a former ballet dancer, not to impugn ballet dancers, but. this guy's like Karl Rove wearing a tutu.
Now that's a good one right there. If it wasn't so horrible and so serious.
the thought is not very good. Yeah, there's not a very good visual on that. But
all right, getting back to the serious issues here, though. In closing. Rahm Emanuel brags that he helped craft the deception in 2006 and that he helped shoot down Democratic candidates that were truly anti-war and ensured that kind of neocon, neo-lib, pro-war clones, not just for Iraq but for Iran, got into Congress in 2006 on that anti-war tide, and
that's
he has made a lot of noises about wanting to go into Iran, and then a week and a half ago, Hillary met with the leaders of Israel, and it was in the news saying in a secret meeting she made agreements to back Israel up, but they wouldn't say what that was. So, A, the final question here, Wayne, and then any other info you've got you want to drop on us, any inside info on other subjects, do you see Rahm Emanuel continuing to stoke the fires of pro-war and militarism as a hawk? And then B, what's the inside scoop you've got of any on what went on in that secret meeting in Israel?
Well, I believe that Emanuel was the guy who pushed for George Mitchell to be the special envoy to the Middle East. It's interesting that Mitchell's being criticized. He's not going to Gaza, where you would think he would go. He won't talk to Hamas. He's not going to Syria, where Hamas has its political headquarters. He's not even going to Lebanon, which is the land of his forebears. George Mitchell is Lebanese-American. But a lot of people are pointing to the fact that Mitchell was the chairman of the board of Disney Corporation, and he got that position because of the internal politics by two very pro-Israeli people who were very high up in Disney. One, the former CEO, Michael Eisner, and also a significant shareholder in Disney, Stanley Gold. These were the guys that were involved in bringing Mitchell into Disney, and he got a lot of money from them. And now he's been made the special envoy of the Middle East. And I think the thought that he may be neutral or unbiased, I think people are putting too much into that. Just because he's Lebanese American doesn't mean he's not bought and paid for. And it certainly looks like his time in Disney that he was bought and he was paid handsomely for it. Emmanuel, but getting back to Emmanuel, yes, he's the guy when he was the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, withheld funds to anyone who was opposed to the war in Iraq or rattling the sabers with Iran, and also saying they were against the Patriot Act. So this guy has significant neocon credentials right down the line.
And he's cracking his knuckles in the president's ears when the president says don't do it in front of the leadership of Congress. I mean, if that isn't a bully saying, hey, I'm your boss, I mean, just in my own business, if an employee did that, or if I was the president, and here's Rahm, I'd say, you know what, you're fired as chief of staff. But
exactly,
that's showing that he can't do that. He's dominated.
Exactly, and he does it in front of the Congress, which lets them know that, Emmanuel's in fact in charge, and he does it in front of members of the cabinet, which lets them know, look, you go through me to get to this guy. So, everybody thought that Obama was going to be this new kind of leader, and instead of being what I think he needs to be, I think he needs to be like a Marine drill sergeant and start issuing orders and backing it up, but now it looks like he's one of Emmanuel's ballet dance partners.
Wayne, you were early on a Obama supporter. You certainly 180 degrees from Bush. How would you summarize the first 7-8 days in office? It looks like a complete betrayal of everything Obama said he would do, and we can't even blame Obama because he's really surrounded by a bunch of thugs.
Right, Right. I said on day one, he exceeded my expectations because he said, look, the Attorney General will determine what happens to presidential records. That means we could finally see what's in the Reagan papers about Poppy Bush. He put teeth back into the Freedom of Information Act. Closing Guantanamo, we're not going to torture. I said day one, I gave him an A+. But as the days went by, it went to an A-, a B+, maybe a B-, and now I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at him as a B- or a C+, and I don't know how much lower it's going to go. But he started out okay, but I'm really afraid that he's being manipulated by the likes of Rahm Emanuel and Emanuel's good buddy David Axelrod, who's in charge of policy. And some of these other Chicago, increasingly these guys are being called the Chicago Mafia.
Well, what about Pat Robertson? We've seen Pat Robertson say, I'm pleasantly pleased, do whatever Obama says. He will save us. God told me. Bizarre statements. We've got Max Boot and all the neocons saying, hey, we like Obama. And then now that he's saying that I may keep the Cheney powers, the Republicans are going, see, we were right. Now that you're in power, you know we were doing what was right. When in reality, it's a bait and switch with Rahm Emanuel, who's just a Democratic neocon.
It is. And look, Rahm Emanuel has to be a great, he must love this unitary executive because now he's got the powers that Cheney once enjoyed. And I just don't see Obama standing up to this guy, Emanuel. I would have thought that even Andy Card, as all the faults that Andrew Card had with Bush, and this guy Joshua Bolten, the last guy, nobody ever heard of him, or heard from him, or hardly seen him anywhere. But it certainly looks like in the case of Emanuel that Emanuel is sort of like the prime minister, that you go through him to get to Obama for almost anything in the government. And I think that's we're looking at Emanuel. We're looking at really a quasi, he made his money on Wall Street. He was a lawyer for Wall Street operation. And, the question is, how much did he benefit from this fraud on Wall Street?
And now he's helping hand over the entire government in bailout, too, to give governmental power to the private Federal Reserve.
Yeah, the only good thing about Emanuel is he creates a lot of enemies. And if he gets a lot of these enemies start to talk to one another, I've seen this happen so many times in D.C. If you get a lot of enemies and you have more enemies and you have close friends, your days are numbered in this town, and that's the only thing I can see a bright light in the future, that he's going to create so many enemies, they're going to start cooperating with one another. They may not agree on a lot of things, but they'll agree that, look, we don't like this guy. He dissed me here. He dissed you here. Let's get rid of this guy, and that may happen.
Wayne Madsen, how do you see it playing out, though, as Obama administration betrays the public on what it claimed it would do? How do you see that playing out? How long will this honeymoon be? And what is Biden's big surprise that'll be so unpopular?
Yeah, I don't know. We keep hearing about this guy Tom Friedman, this horrible guy that writes for the New York Times, was saying, one more 9/11, you'll have to worry about you'll be taking more than your shoes off at the airport, and people this fear thing, and we keep hearing this from over and over again. And, Obama wants to try to apparently curtail some of these powers, surveillance powers, which are saying, what if there's another 9/11 they're throwing? I hope he sticks to his guns, but with Emanuel and some of the others, I'm not sure. This Napolitano at Homeland Security looks like, she may be Tom Ridge with a dress on. In some respects, it's more of the same. I just noted that Napolitano today said she wants to strengthen the security on the U.S.-Canadian border. I didn't think that was a big problem. Do we have a lot of Canadians coming down here stealing our jobs?
Well, it's already super tight for Americans going in and out. They only let the illegals through.
It's terrible, yeah.
Well, Wayne, I am going to let you go, but I just did want to get your final take on false flag terror. Ron Paul has said on this show, many others have said, we just had Gerald Celente on last hour saying, they do think, not Obama himself, but the powers that be in the military-industrial complex, the Rahm Emanuels, the Clintons, those around them, that some stage provocations may be engaged in to get the people behind the wars continuing.
Well, I think we have to be on guard against that. But I think the American people, most of them anyway, if it happens again, they're going to be a lot more skeptical and cynical than they were the first time. We were all kind of taken in the first time, but I think the time we're not going to be.
absolutely. Wayne, give folks your website.
Yes, it's www.waynematsonreport.com.
And we've got it up on screen. Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, Madsen, M-A-D-S-E-N, report.com. Wayne, we'll talk to you again very soon. Thanks for the great reports.
You bet.
All right, take care. I'm going to come back in the final segment, hit two or three articles I haven't hit, and we'll talk to Anthony, Bruce, and Ryan. We'll cram and give each of you about a minute or so to ask a question or make a comment or two. Maybe I'm time to go to a call right now. But before I do that, I want to tell you who, again, has made this show possible. It is our sponsors, ColaBlue.com, fabulous atmospheric water generator. Atmospheric water generator for the home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure clean water without the fluoride. Ultimate water from the humidity in the air. Know exactly what you're drinking. Machine produces up to 28 liters or 7.5 gallons a day. Great tasting pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH goes through seven filters, including reverse osmosis and more inside. Here's the number, 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044. Or check out the big banners on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. If you forget the web address, remember, Ecola Blue, E-C-O-L-O, blue.com. All right, let's go ahead now and go to Anthony. Well, no, first-time caller goes first. Bruce in Illinois, then Anthony. Bruce, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, quick question. In your opinion, what do you think the tipping point is going to be for the general masses, for the population to finally stand up and say, no, I'm not talking about armed violence or anything like that, but to stand up and say, no, this is enough. I mean, every day I listen to you every day, and things are getting more and more outrageous. And I don't know where or when or what to watch.
Well, look, Congress got a 9% approval rating before, I keep saying, it's so important, before one party be high ratings, the other be negative. People were getting fooled by the bait and switch. Still, both parties have a low approval rating. Only Obama has this 65-70%, depending on which poll you look at, and it's already dropping. It went up to about 71, 72. It's already dropped down to about 63 in most of the polls, but it's not higher than 65 in any of the polls I've seen. It's already dropping 1 week in as people see the betrayal. And so they've kind of thrown this curveball of a black president, and people kind of go, whoa, maybe it is different. And then his rhetoric was different. So they're kind of waiting. They're hoping. I mean, who wants things to get bad? Who wants to think the depression's inevitable? Who wants to think they're putting troops on the streets is real, even when it's in the news? So they're kind of hoping and giving him a shot. I mean, it's like a woman who's being beaten by her husband every week. And then, he promises over and over again, I promise I'm not going to do it, baby. I promise. I promise. And then he finally goes to a counselor, finally gets help, starts going to church. But then a week after that, he goes ahead and breaks her nose again. It's kind of at a certain point. But see, this is like a wife with a husband who suddenly looks different, but it's still the same guy.
Right, but it's like, when is the wife going to snap? That's the whole thing. I'm just wondering, are we going to go from, we wake up 1 million or 100 million people in this country, and, is it going to go from, okay, we're all awake, we all understand, we all know what's going on?
It's going to go to rioting and shootings and people getting killed, and then that will help the globalists bring in more control. We have to somehow not let it get to that point and just fully expose them, then take over our states, take over the federal government, and arrest all these criminals. The problem is they're still going to use NORTHCOM, then it's going to get violent regardless, and we're going to kick their butt.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up, and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
All right, I'm going to take a few final calls from Anthony and Ryan here in just a moment. But I meant to get to this today. I didn't. The Obama Deception, my new documentary film that comes out March 15th, it's gotten like 28,000 views now, as of now, in about 36 hours up on the web. I want that to even go more viral. Up on Infowars.com. Now, I want to show them the YouTube page itself. Let's minimize that. You can go read the comments and see the left-right paradigm in motion here. You just heard an Obama supporter saying he's selling everybody out. Wayne Madsen from D.C. I mean, anybody who actually knows the issues knows this is a bait and switch. But these are the type of comments. Now, they're the minority of the comments. And some of them even admit they know who I am, but still say things like this. This was JX Ford 1. Why didn't this piece of bleeping producer, creator, take on Bush? Well, we did for 8 years. 110%. Made 4 films. This looks like a far right-wing propaganda machine that will break down soon enough. People are tired of bull crap and need solutions. If you're not part of it, then you're a disruptor. Get ready for the new O generation, one of responsibility and servitude for the greater good. United States of America is the greatest country ever. Servitude isn't service, sir, but you got it right. Obama's service is really compulsory servitude and slavery and being bankrupted by the bankers. He's here to pacify you and fool you and bamboozle you as a front man. He doesn't run anything. If you really love Obama, you'd listen to me and understand he isn't going to do anything but rhetoric. They're going to have fake right-wingers attack him. That'll make the left defend him. Just like when the left attacked Bush, the right mindlessly defended him. Stop being suckers. But look at this. People are tired of bull and need solutions. If you're not part of it, then you're a disruptor. So that's what they're saying. I've been telling you. They're going to say, if you don't go along with him, you're causing everything to fall apart. So this is a comment from last night. There's like a 800 comments or something on there, but you can go down to the comments and read his. United States of America is the greatest country ever. The country of servitude. Service is something I choose to do. Servitude is being a slave. So I mean, you said it yourself because you're so ignorant. You called yourself a slave and don't even know it. One of responsibility and servitude for the greater good. Zoom in on this. Zoom way. I want people to actually see this guy's comment printed off of YouTube. You can go to the website and watch it for yourself. Zoom in on this one right here. In fact, I'm just going to underline servitude right here. Servitude for the greater good. You mean for the bankers? Servitude. And see, I'm a disruptor because I don't want to be in servitude. What an idiot. All right, let's jam in one call here. That's all I'm going to have time for. Anthony in Georgia, you're on the air. Take us out of here.
Hey, Alex, about the Obama agenda, thanks for all your work, by the way. But one word, AFRICOM, U.S. African Command. And I don't know if you got into this in the new movie or not, but Cynthia McKinney talked about it in her running election. And what they're trying to do, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, the former and current, in February 6th of 2007.
They're going to send a bunch of U.S. troops to Africa, and they need a black president as the front.
Exactly. He's a vampire, like in the old tale. You got to open the door up for the vampire, and they're knocking on Africa's door, the U.S. empire, and Africa's going to open it. They're going to look at the people, see the pretty brown smile. They're going to open the doors, and the American empire is going to go in and steal all the natural resources, their gold, their diamonds, suck them dry of all their blood. So that's Africa's role. I mean, that's Obama's role. I think that's why he's president, because
Man,
they need
powerful, an powerful analogy. I'd like to put you in my Obama film saying just that. Call me back tomorrow, and we're live at PrisonPlanet.tv. Say that again, because it had music over it, so we can't use it. And I want to put your comment in the film, because I'm going to have a lot of man on the street, and that could be that. Okay, will you call me back tomorrow?
Sure, no problem.
Fantastic. Get in tomorrow. In fact, John, get his number. Let's have him on tomorrow for 5 minutes so he can say that. We can put it in the Obama film. Retransmission with Wayne Madsen, Gerald Celente, and a lot more starts now. Infowars.com.